Everyone wants to be a hero. It's part of our DNA. Join One Safe Place as we honor local heroes, survivors, coaches, law enforcement, tribal leaders, military, and parents. Be a Hero to Your Children is a One Safe Place benefit dinner to help support a community affected by family violence. With special keynote speaker, consultant to the NBA, MLB, NFL, educator and activist, TED Talks Tony Porter. Be a Hero to Your Children benefit dinner is on Thursday, October 22nd at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. To purchase your hosted table now before they're all gone, call One Safe Place at 244-0118, extension 206. Sponsored in part by Region 3 Safe Program and Shasta Regional Medical Center. And remember, not all heroes wear capes.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460, your talk radio station. On Monday, it's active shooters in school zones. What should the students do if they hear the word active shooter and the alarm goes out? What other protocols are there to protect your children and that they need to know before they go off to college? We'll discuss this and much more on Monday right here at Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Well, once again, it's Sunday. Today is October 11th, 2015. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host once again. I'm here in the studio with my sister, Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we also have Bob Martin, our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great guy. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Bob.
Good morning, Linda.
We are streaming worldwide. You can go to the chat room, KCNR1460.com, or call in at 530-605-4567. All of our shows are podcast and archived as well. You can friend me on Facebook at Sovereign Minds. Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night at 6 p.m. at 2570 South Bonneview. That's Destiny Fellowship. They stand for limited government, fiscal responsibility, and adherence to the Constitution. Jefferson State of Mind, which you were just listening to, was on Sunday just right before us, the hour before us, from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. And we got Red trying to hook himself up here. He's going to stay over. It
looks He's trying to hook himself up. He's trying to hang himself over there for some reason.
There we go.
Yeah, there we have it. Also, we encourage you. Anyway, we got Red Smith here holding over and adding to the show. How you doing today, Red?
I'm doing
good. Good. Well, that's better than not doing.
That's true.
Yep.
Shasta Lantern. We encourage everybody to sign up and get the Shasta Lantern, and their subscription is available for $51 a year. You can go to www.shastalantern.com and sign up for that subscription.
530-221-0101.
Very good. Very good. I like this one. The hottest places in hell are reserved for those in times of great moral crisis. Maintain their neutrality. And I think I said that last week, but I'm going to do it again.
Isn't just that because really
yeah, pretty appropriate for California. Yeah. So anyway. We have a special guest today, Dr. Elena George, and she is going to talk about healthcare and corporate control of of healthcare, Obamacare. She's very a very qualified person, board certified. I'm not even sure how you say that. Otolaryngologist. I'm not even sure what that is, but we'll find out.
I'm sure she'll let us know that. Yeah, she stands for liberty for her patients and doctors.
Very good, very good. She graduated from Princeton with a degree in biology. She also got a master's in medical microbiology from Long Island University. Received her medical degree from Mount Sinai School of Medicine in New York. So obviously, and that's just touching on her credentials, obviously she's very qualified in the area of healthcare. Unlike our politicians who have passed Obamacare, or the ACA, if you prefer. Anyway, are you with us, doctor?
I am. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, very good. Thank you for being here. We really appreciate your perspective, and I'm not sure where we want to start here. Wherever you want to start. Maybe, tell us what you want to talk about or where you want to go or what is driving you at this point.
Well, sure. I'm an ear, nose, and throat doctor. That's otolaryngologist, so I can clarify that.
Thank you.
I appreciate that.
I've been around a long time, and I actually had never seen that before that I can remember. I looked at that and was stumped.
It took my parents a while to pronounce it, too, so don't worry. I'm originally from New York, and I now practice in Atlanta, and I'm one of those doctors who are on the front line. Doctors who actually see patients who aren't employed by a hospital, who actually take the Hippocratic Oath seriously, and I believe that it's all about patient care and the doctor-patient relationship. And I wrote this book, Big Medicine, The Cost of Corporate Control, How Doctors and Patients Working Together Can Rebuild a Better System, because I wanted to take the spin out of the healthcare conversation. We've been told a lot of things and promised a lot of things, and one of the things that's never talked about is what it's really like from a doctor's perspective. What really goes on in a doctor's office, and how can we really fix it? It's not about control, and that's what it's been about under the Affordable Care Act. They've centralized healthcare. They've empowered the worst players in the healthcare system, and they're now taking it to doctors and patients, and we're told that we should like it. And I'm here to tell you that there's a choice. I mean, there's options that people never talk about, and that's why I wrote the book. It's really about solutions.
Well, it's refreshing to hear that. I mean, when the ACA was passed, I don't think they even consulted with doctors on how it should, be run at all. I mean, this has all been about, corporate control, like you say, government control and taxes and a lot of other things. But it sure doesn't seem like it's been about taking care of the people who need medicine or medical treatments. It's just crazy. I mean, you can keep your doctor, you can keep your plan. It seems like it's nothing but one big, been one big lie. Maybe you can expand on that.
I certainly can. You know, the problem is really the third-party payer system. That's the insurance companies and the government who've basically inserted themselves between the doctor and the patient, and they've been so emboldened, especially the insurance companies now, they're actually practicing medicine. After the Affordable Care Act passed, we started getting notices that after we got asked the insurance companies if we could do a procedure or send a patient for a test, we're getting letters back saying it wasn't medically necessary, it was experimental, or it wasn't covered at all. I mean, they really just totally took over the system. They've been shifting the cost of pay of healthcare from them to the patient. And when I opened my practice in 2001, when people had an insurance card, they didn't pay anything. They just present the insurance card, and that was it. Now they're paying, believe it or not, up to $10,000 out of pocket before the insurance company kicks in the first dime. So we saw a dramatic drop-off in patients after the law was passed. You know, we were seeing one or two patients a week. It was really scary for a while. And the people who were walking in with insurance were finding out that they'd have to pay on top of their premium, and they just walked out. You know, if you don't know you have to pay $2,500, $5,000, whatever the amount is, on top of the $700 or $800 you're paying a month or more, it really is, it's a sticker shock.
Sounds
and
to me.
We didn't talk about that.
Well, it sounds to me like you're better off being poor and uninsured. That's really who is benefiting from this program. Anybody who has any money and working seems like they've got a big target on their back.
You know, it's not just the people who are working. I'm going to be clear. The people who are or unsubsidized health care, whether it's Medicaid, whether it's the Affordable Care Act, they're not getting care either because
right.
they're in the same position where they're walking into somebody's office. You know, we used to be able to walk in and see a doctor and spend 15, 20 minutes, half an hour. You're now spending 7 minutes on average with a doctor if you get one, and you're more likely to have a nurse practitioner or a physician assistant. And what was covered in terms of medication is no longer covered. So everybody is on the hook for this, whether
I hope don't misunderstand me. I didn't mean to imply that they had it better in the way of the care as much.
Oh,
as,
no.
Yeah, I mean, as much as
I didn't
as
take it that way at
yeah,
all.
Good, thank you.
But,
I appreciate it.
But you would
it.
Think that, not at all. But the way they made it sound is if you didn't have health insurance, you were going to die. That's how they sold it to us.
Right.
You know, they promised us the moon. And everybody who wasn't covered was automatically going to get whatever they wanted, and everything was going to be awesome. And in actuality, everybody got less, and everybody is getting less.
Absolutely. I mean, we used to have, at least you could get care at the emergency if you didn't have any money. Now what we have is we have a lot of insurance and no care and not many doctors out there that can provide the care, it seems like, and becoming lesser and, you know, lesser doctors out there or, you know, less doctors out there daily because they can't seem to cope, put up, or don't want to put up with this draconian act.
Well, you know, it didn't just start from the doctors being unhappy in the classic sense. It started off with not being able to stay open. I mean, the reimbursements were, since I went into practice, they've dropped every year since I've been in practice. And I've had to figure out ways to keep my solo practice open. I love my freedom. I love my individuality. I love my patients' rights. And so I worked around the system.
Right.
I barter. We have a sliding scale. I offer medical cost sharing, which is a company like Liberty HealthShare, which we'll talk about in a second because that's a huge solution that people don't even know about. But most doctors have left the profession or they've become employed. And as soon as they did that, they lost their autonomy. And we're talking about a system where it's so micromanaged that if you have a disease, they're telling you what you should use, how long it should take for the patient to get better. And basically, they want outcomes. When they talk about, you know, the accountable care organizations, that's micromanagement. If you don't fit in those rigid structured lines, you won't be paid.
Well,
and if you are a patient advocate, go ahead.
Well, you not only have you seen a reduction in what you can get in pay and the amount being paid, that's at the same time that your own insurance premiums are accelerating in cost, is it not?
Exactly. I mean, that's what we were talking about. The centralization has really been to the benefit of insurance companies. And they're working exactly how an insurance company is supposed to work. If you have a car insurance or anything else, you pay a premium and they make money when they don't pay out. That's what they do, right? That's exactly what's going on now with healthcare. So you pay your premium and then when you really need your help, they're denying you after the fact. And they're not paying the doctor either. So they're pocketing all of that money, and they get to double dip because they're getting subsidized by the government to supposedly take care of people who are indigent.
Well,
it's just a disgusting system.
Well, it sounds to me, and that brings up two points, is number one, you know, who wrote the law? My information was that the insurance companies actually helped write the law, and they wrote it for their own benefit. So this is another one of those grafty payoff, you know, get this thing passed type thing for the benefit of the people who are going to benefit from it. And then also death panels. I mean, what you're telling me and what I'm hearing is there are death panels, and they can just cut you off, and there's nothing you can do about it.
It goes two ways. There are death panels in the sense that the insurance companies are telling you that you should be happy with hospice and the government paying for end-of-life decisions all of a sudden. And the other one is self-rationing. That means people who have insurance but their out-of-pocket is so high, they don't go to the doctor.
They
don't get the medication. Yeah, so it works on both ends. And when they tell you that they're paying less in health care costs, you need to understand it's because people aren't using the system or they're being denied care. That's the truth from the inside. It's not what they say it is. Just because they say it doesn't make it true. It's what is. And I live it every day. And I'm disgusted by the fact that they want me as a doctor, and there's something called meaningful use in the Obamacare system and Medicare, that I'm supposed to ask certain questions of my patients in order to close my electronic chart. If you have a gun in your home, how many people live in your home? Have you ever tried to hurt yourself? And if you're a pediatrician, you're supposed to ask, Does your child think it's a boy or a girl? I mean, these are the questions that they're trying to ask. Basically, it's metadata that we're gathering for the government and whomever is sifting through those electronic medical record clouds. And I take offense to that because I'm supposed to be an advocate for my patient and not an agent for the government.
Right.
Well, you know, I spoke out against Obamacare and, gosh, and you know, and against Obama's policies, and I'm called a racist, you know, every time I speak about it. And it's just a divisive tactic, in my opinion, to get everybody on the wrong narrative. I mean, you know, the narrative should be about the health care, about the doctors, about, you know, how the system's working, not whether I don't like a certain color of people or not. I mean, I'm assuming you don't get that.
Yeah, I get it, and I don't care. You know, I know who I am. I trust in God. I have no apologies about that. And I was built and put on this earth to be the best doctor I can be, and anything that stands in the way of that, I'm not going to do. And so you can call me racist, sexist, whatever if you want. And I think most people need to take a step back and stop being victimized by this bullying, because that's exactly what it is. Everybody wants the same thing. I don't care what color you are. You want to live well. You want to take care of your family. And hopefully you want to die in your bed at a very old age. We all want the same thing. And for people to keep separating us arbitrarily, we need to stop playing the game and falling into the trap.
I mean, that was kind of my point, if you don't mind me calling you Dr. Elena. That's what the politics are all about, is keeping everybody separated, whether it's blacks against whites, gays against straights, you know, the poor against the rich, you name it. It's all the politics of division so that we can be fighting amongst ourselves. Well, basically, the government is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and we're losing our liberty.
And we're paying taxes for the privilege, and we're carrying a piece of plastic for the privilege of them doing this to us. I agree. And one of the things that I want to definitely discuss is the fact that the book talks about solutions. And in the Affordable Care Act, written into the letter of the law, is something called medical cost sharing, which is the best-kept secret that nobody ever talks about or knows about. It is a consortium of like-minded people. Doesn't matter what race they are. Doesn't matter what religion they are. It doesn't matter. As long as they have a one unity goal of covering themselves and their members for insurance needs, I'm sorry, medical insurance needs. So I belong to something called Liberty HealthShare, which is a version of it where anybody who's liberty-minded joins their resources and they get self-pay rates. This is the thing that no one ever talks about. The healthcare costs are inflated, they're arbitrary, and there's no accountability. When you use your insurance card, they can just say whatever the price is and you pay it.
Well, it sounds...
If you pay your own money, it's not the case.
It sounds to me like what you're advocating is a free market in the medical.
Oh, you bet.
Yeah, I mean, gee, imagine that. We actually, a free market works better than a government mandate.
So, in a sense, it's a medical co-op in a way.
That's exactly what it is. But it's not insurance, and therefore, it's not held to the same mandates and all of the, you know, the centralization policies on high that regular commercial insurance is held under. On top of that, it can negotiate self-pay prices with any entity, whether it's a hospital or a doctor. And that means when you get the real cost of something, the price drops by about two-thirds. That's really the answer to healthcare. Get the middleman out. Let the patient actually discuss with the doctor or the hospital, this is what I have, what kind of deal are you going to cut me? And you'll be amazed how easy that's done and how cheap it is. And this is a policy that covers men, women, children. Like I said, it doesn't matter your political, your religious bent. As long as you want to take responsibility for your health and you don't, and you honor the fact that your word means something, that's all you need. And the most expensive policy,
But Dr. Elena, you said because it's like a co-op, you're not held to the same standards like an insurance company. So does that mean that the questions like, do you own a gun and all that, does that get thrown out the window?
Yes, it does, and you actually have privacy because they don't use an electronic medical record, database or standard or template.
This is
all about you walking into your doctor's office and you guys being what you used to be.
This sounds like totally the solution. And I assume because it's not health insurance that it's not restricted on state lines. So we could call get a hold of Liberty Health Shares right now and negotiate, insurance or whatever you want to call it, a cooperative health plan. And we are in California, you're in Georgia, and it wouldn't matter.
It doesn't. They have 10,000 families now, and it's growing every month, and it's across the country. And again, you don't even have to negotiate. All you have to do is join as a member. And as I said, the most expensive policy. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And on the co-op model, the larger it grows, the cheaper it actually gets, correct?
Well, the more market share or power you have to negotiate even lower. But they're actually pretty fair. I'm a doctor, and I take Liberty Health Share patients in my practice. And they pay 150% of Medicare for an office visit, 160% of Medicare for a hospitalization, and 170% of Medicare for a procedure. That's double or triple what I get under the insurance model.
Wow.
And I don't have to beg. I don't have to pre-cert. I don't have to, fight for my money, as long as it's medically necessary. And it means anything medically necessary, if it's cancer, if it's a dental issue, if it's an eye issue.
Who makes that
pharmacy
decision?
Pharmacy is covered.
Who makes that decision?
You do.
The patient or the doctor.
That's correct. So they're not going to cover breast implant, okay? But they'll cover reconstruction if you have a mastectomy. That's what I mean by medically necessary. They're not going to cover veneers, but they'll cover you getting a root canal or a tooth pulled, something that you actually need, right? And it's only $500 out of pocket. That's your shared amount per year. That's amazing. So most people, whether they work, can actually afford that.
Well, that's actually, I've been waiting for a solution like this to come up before I did anything. I refused to get signed up for insurance this last year just out of pure principle until I found something different. But the fines are going to start going up on Obamacare. I do tax consulting for a living, and you're going to start seeing these fines hit dramatic. So it's actually going to be a lot cheaper to have a plan like this than to not do anything or go with the Obamacare is what it sounds like.
Oh, there's no question. And because it's written into the letter of the law, it's allowed, and you will not be fined. That's beauty. You're actually working within the tenets of the law, but you're actually making it work for you, which you can't say about any commercial insurance. And for those that think, hey, I need to carry a catastrophic plan, they actually have a plan which I joined, which pays up to $1 million per occurrence per year.
Well,
$199 a month.
And it also keeps you from abusing it. I mean,
absolutely.
I haven't been to the doc. I hardly ever go to the doctor. I might go to the doctor once every 5 years or something for a checkup, or the last time I actually had anything major was a knee surgery, and that was 15-18 years ago. And I went in and did exactly what you said. I negotiated with the doctor to pay them cash as opposed to having any insurance, and I got it for half price. They were talking $24,000 to do an ACL replacement, and I paid them cash at $12,000.
That's the real true market value. And if you go to somewhere like the Medical Center of Oklahoma, they actually have all their prices online, so you know exactly what you're going to pay for before you walk in there. And that's from the time you walk in, anesthesia, to the time you're discharged. And they had so much political power or economic power in Oklahoma that the hospitals had to drop their price because patients were actually seeing what the inflated cost was, and they weren't paying it. That's the power of the purse. It's time for us as doctors and patients to take it back. And the book discusses how you do that.
Wow. This is dynamic stuff.
Yeah. Dr. Elena, we actually have a caller on the line, and he has a question about the Hippocratic Oath that has been changed and how it's been changed. So, David, are you with us?
Yeah, hey, morning. I'm a big fan of Michael Moore, and he put out a movie a couple of years ago called Sicko. And if you ever got a chance to see it, it's not basically about poor people that are having trouble getting health care. It's about wealthy middle-class people, wealthy and middle-class people, who think they have a good policy, but they're actually getting cheated enormously. And then he goes into some early history back into 1972, if I remember right, where Richard Nixon is basically in consultation with John Ehrlichman to change the Hippocratic Oath. And then that creates the corporate model for the early HMOs and the start of all of this looting of America. And so when I heard you talking about, like, doubling down on market forces of doctors, that's almost why the Hippocratic Oath was created. Because the first Hippocratic Oath said that a doctor was supposed to treat you first and not ask for money ahead of time. That was like extortion. And that they were supposed to treat you first and money was to come later. And that was written into the first Hippocratic Oath, but it was written out with this Richard Nixon, John Ehrlichman thing. And it created the bureaucracies that put these HMOs in between you and a doctor, or it put a secretary between you and the doctor, and it was the secretary that demanded money first, otherwise you'd never be seen. So I was just going to warn you not to double down on bad economics with money-grubbing doctors. Because, you know, if you think psychologically about a doctor is supposed to be a healer, not a money grubber. I don't want to train a bunch of money grubbers about how to be a doctor. I'd rather train a bunch of healers about wise medical treatment and, give them some real skills and ability. And so the Hippocratic Oath was supposed to help facilitate the healers and chase out the money grubbers. So, yeah, I'm just going to raise that.
Well, thanks, David. You want to go ahead and comment on that, Dr. Elena?
Absolutely. He makes an excellent point. I actually took the classic Hippocratic Oath, which meant do no harm, you can't perform abortions, and there is no euthanasia. That's the Hippocratic Oath I took. There's been a change in medical education over the past 20 years, and the doctors coming out now actually can perform abortions, do euthanasia. It's not about them being a patient advocate as a primary source of their healing power. It's changed completely, and he's absolutely right. And now we have the power of the government coming in, where if you are still an advocate for your patient, you get punished for being that. For example, under Medicare, if you underbill somebody, if you charge them less than you're supposed to because you're trying to cut them a break, that's fraud. If you do that once, you get $25,000 fine. The third time you do it, you go to jail. And now you have to wonder or ask yourself, maybe now I understand why doctors are leaving Medicare, because you really are just put upon. You can't be a doctor and be an advocate. When corporate interests buy your doctor services and they employ you, you become an entity and a cog in a wheel. If you decide you want to treat a patient with a certain medication that's not on formulary, it's not going to happen. And you're going to become a disruptive doctor. And there's something called sham peer review, which exists now, that doctors who have a conscience are systematically being removed from the profession by the hospitals. So this is a completely just a system that is not about health. It's about control, and it's about taking money from the patient. And I think the caller is absolutely right. As soon as the corporate hospitals have taken over the healthcare system, the cost has gone up, the waiting lists have become longer, the doctors are basically just doing what they're told, and now we're seeing a shift from doctors to physician assistants, nurse practitioners, foreign-trained doctors. It's all about the bottom line. Get them in, get them out, bill as much as you can bill, call as many consults as you can call. It's not healthcare.
Well, I think it's called fascism, actually, and that's what we're talking about here. It is. I mean, fascism is when the corporate interests collude with the government. You know, that's what gets me about this right-left paradigm thing is, you know, the left's going, oh, we need more government to stop the corporate fascists.
Mm-hmm.
And the corporations are going, you know, oh, no, you know, we need less government and more corporate capitalism, when it's not really capitalism, it's cronyism, and they keep this debate going back and forth on whose fault it is, when it's really the fact that they're colluding.
Yeah, what do you call it?
It's a very elaborate machine, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's eternal vigilance, isn't it? Kind of what you're talking about there. We've got to keep the vigilance against the corporations as well as against the government, because they're jacking it either way.
What's the
difference? You know, one other thing, I was kind of struck when your guest's answer there about if you're trying to cut a break for the patient, you can actually end up in prison. Is that because the HMO bureaucracy spots the underpayment or the underpricing, and they basically rat you out in order to chase away the low production doctors?
this is straight Medicare, and Medicare is the underpinning of what the commercial insurances do. So because the coding system, which was generated by the AMA, by the way, and sold to the commercial insurance companies, because they have a way to template and know what your time should be and how much you should be able to charge, they can monitor that. If your documentation doesn't meet it, you know, it's all just completely regimented. That's where the system is broken. One of the reasons why the system's broken, because there's no privacy. Everything you do, everything you click into the electronic medical record goes through an algorithm, and at the other end, if you don't meet the number of points you're supposed to hit, if your coding doesn't match up with your documentation, they're going to flag you. So you can't overbill, which is fine. That shouldn't be the case. But surely, if you're saving somebody money, that can't be considered fraud too, can it? I mean, I don't get that. But the system is, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, and that's why it's not winnable. The whole game is not winnable. And I think you've nailed it correctly. It's a very tight relationship between the corporate interests and the government. And they were part and parcel to writing this bill. Not only were the insurance companies in on the writing, but so was the pharmaceutical companies, Health and Hospital Corporation, unions, and the AMA. There was not a doctor or a patient to be seen in that crafting of the bill.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. And I was going to say, if you know, if you think about 1776 as, you know, the guidance of how to develop our country, and colony economics was the problem, that there was a king on the other side of the ocean that was demanding tribute every day. And so now every medical procedure is a federal affair, and it's mm-hmm. not local economics. And in 1776, the development of America up until basically the 1980s had it so that you would have, well, not only local AMA laws, you know, California AMA structure, Oregon, Idaho, you know, the various states had their own laws guiding doctors, but the idea that it's kind of like centralizing thought of the financing of it and creating a new colony so that it becomes a federal crime to undercharge a patient. And in the same way, if you cheat on your food stamp application and you get an extra $30 a month, you know, it becomes a federal crime, and the state would pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to keep you in prison as opposed to paying you $30 a month more. So it's this criminalizing in a colonial way, and so they federalize local crimes as well as federalizing every part of the local economy. Every toenail that gets broken becomes 14.
Well, the problem is we got way too much government regulating way too many things. It should never have gotten that big. You know, the enumerated powers that were given to the federal government have been so, you know, lost in the control from the executive branch and the Congress that they no longer are even operating inside the Constitution. But with that,
we need to go to a break. But if you want to call in and have a question or a comment for Dr. Elena, you can call in at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Thank you. 202, the only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions, including classics like sweet potato fries, U202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite, Mai Mai Almondine. Also new, 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from beer braised chicken, spicy Italian sausage, to seared wild mushrooms. Try their smoked steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with bottomless mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. View 202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. View 202, 226-8439. That's 226-8439.
For 45 years, the Reading Civic Auditorium has been an important resource in the North State for entertainment, fundraising events, trade shows, and conferences. In the past 3 years, over $1 million have been put back into this iconic structure. We invite you to be a part of the Civic's revitalization by becoming a member. We think you'll love the benefits, and your support will help to sustain its revitalization and strong community connection. Visit ReadingCivic.com or the box office to become a Reading Civic member.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Reading Yellow Cab, and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Reading Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Reading Yellow Cab, and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
Wellgate Sports Club, Reading's premier lifestyle center, is celebrating its grand reopening and has a gift for you. Take advantage of exclusive grand reopening membership rates with zero enrollment fees. That's right, zero enrollment fees. Are you looking to add family to your membership? That's great. We have a gift for you, too. Special rates and incentives will allow your entire family to quit the gym and join the club. At Wellgate Sports Club, you'll experience upscale high-end amenities and programs, complimentary lifestyle education workshops, member social events, and passionate professionals who work one-on-one with you to help you achieve your health and fitness goals. Wellgate Sports Club features Reading's exclusive indoor saltwater pool, the Mind and Body Studio featuring Pilates and yoga, as well as the group exercise studio featuring Zumba, cycling, and more. Offer expires October 15th, so don't wait. Come celebrate the grand reopening of Wellgate Sports Club, 1740 Eureka Way, Reading. Call 638-4829 today for your personal tour. Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day.
Tired of sitting in the waiting room for an hour to see your doctor? Frustrated by short doctor visits that seem more like a fast food experience than a meaningful encounter with your doctor? Upset over copays, deductibles, and co-insurance on top of health insurance premiums? Welcome to Prestige Urgent Care. Step up to a higher level of health care. Experience short wait times and unhurried doctor visits. Gain unlimited access to comprehensive family medicine and urgent care for a low monthly fee with no copay or deductible. See the doctor when it's convenient for you. Open 7 days per week. Prestige offers walk-in visits and same-day appointments. Enjoy the undivided attention of your doctor in a clean, comfortable setting where we spend as much time as necessary to completely satisfy your medical needs. Call Prestige Urgent Care at 244-4577 or stop by our clinic at the intersection of Eureka Way and Buenaventura and see for yourself. Prestige Urgent Care, 244-4577.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Thank you.
Sovereign Mind Radio. We're back, and the chat is going on pretty high level here in the studio. Everybody's excited about this Liberty Health shares. They're looking it up. My sister online, and the costs are very very good. And man, we're excited. We really appreciate the doctor giving us some solutions here.
I was just looking at like option three. A single person is 18 a month. A couple is 22 a month, and a family is 25 a month. Or a family, I should say. A family's 25 a month, up to $1 million.
Because my other option was bury me in the yard. I mean,
well, we could do that too. I mean, that's always an option.
Anyway,
but the prices, if you go on here and you just go to www.libertyhealthshare.org, they've got them right there. There's three options, and I'm telling you, folks.
Now, is there a way to find out what doctors in our area will take Liberty?
Any doctor will see it because the doctors, there's no panel. That's the beauty. You can, and I can tell you personally, if you tell them, hey, you're going to make 150% of Medicare, they're going to jump at the chance.
They're going to go, I'm in.
They're taking Medicaid. Yeah, no question.
Yeah.
It's 12 cents on the dollar for Medicaid. It's 80 cents on the dollar for Medicare. And it's like 60 cents, 50 cents on the dollar for commercial insurance.
And I'm
predicting 150%.
And I'm assuming that the checks actually get, you know, come out timely as opposed to wait 6 months for a check.
Yep.
Well, I was going to say, and if they even approve it after you've done the procedure, correct? Because they're coming back and saying, no, we're not going to cover that. So actually, you're not even receiving that percentage from them.
No, you're not. You're getting 0%.
Yeah.
So without needing a biller, without needing extra people to work a claim, the doctor's actually going to save money down the road because their word means something. When you call to find out what the membership's shared amount is, that's what it's called, the shared amount, $500 per year. That's all you have to come out of pocket for after you pay your shared monthly premium. You're done. So, I mean, if you have anything that happens, God forbid you need surgery, God forbid you have to have an X-ray, that's it. They cover it 100%.
I'm really
that particular plan.
I'm really disappointed about the breast implants, though.
Well, you know what? You have enough money saved that you can actually buy them yourself. You know?
That's too much information because we're not sure.
Where he's going.
Yeah,
with
who needs the breast implants?
Not
you know?
For me.
Well, you never know. I'm just
that's
saying.
Well, they kind of are for me, I guess.
Well,
but no, never mind. Anyway, we probably should let that
you're
one go.
You're going to get yourself in trouble.
yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't help it. I had to say it.
I wanted to touch, if we could possibly, I noticed that you said something about that you also wanted it so that the patient could go to other sources to get their medications that are on Medicare,
mm-hmm.
Medicare and stuff. Could you kind of tell us about that?
It's through the Liberty Health Share or just in general what's happening with it.
Okay. Okay. So you
Liberty Health Share helps pay for pharmaceutical or medications. So that's covered. Holistic is covered. If you want to do acupuncture, Chinese herbal, Qigong, that stuff is covered as well. And, you know, it really, to me, it comes down to personal choice and liberty and individuality. That's the problem with this system. It's a one-size-fits-all. It's really taking away your choice, and everything is mandated. You don't even have informed consent anymore within this Affordable Care Act system. People are getting vaccinated. They don't even tell you what the real risks are. Just do it. And if you don't, you're going to take away your children. I mean, what kind of system is that? It doesn't even make sense. And what Liberty HealthShare offers is the ability for you and your family to do what you feel is necessary to take care of your family without breaking the bank. That's health care. That's
right.
The Hippocratic Oath in a nutshell.
Yeah.
That's American, being an American in a nutshell, what you say?
Yeah. I know with some hospitals and stuff, I was told, like here in California, that you go in for one procedure and it's becoming
mm-hmm.
like mandatory that we take your appendix out before we release you on, you know, and things like that. What, you know, how crazy is that? That they're doing procedures that you
crazy.
Don't even need, you know?
That's... They're not even doing that. They're vaccinating you without your consent as well. So, you know, once you're in there, they have a whole protocol. If you come in with a diabetic issue, if you come in with a heart disease issue, there's a whole template of things that they have to do by mandates and compliance. They just do to you. They don't give
right.
your
No, not like.
That's what I mean. You don't, right, you don't have informed consent anymore. I can't operate on somebody without giving them the pros and the cons. I would never do that to a patient. Why does the government and insurance companies get to do that? That doesn't make any sense. So they're superimposing themselves between the doctor and the patient, and they're overriding the doctor's best judgment and, quite frankly, the patient's best interest. Because as a doctor, I, by definition, by default, have my patient's best interest at heart. I took an oath to do that.
Right.
If I get cut out of the picture, then the patient's on their own. And we're seeing what's going on with that. People are being put in hospice tracks. They're being told that you should be comfortable. We don't want to do anything, you know, heroic to save the person because they're too old. My dad would be dead if he were in this system today. Because I took him out and paid for it myself, my dad got to spend his 90th birthday dancing at it. And I can tell you that's how socialized medicine goes, because he retired to a country where they had socialized medicine, and the seniors were just completely marginalized. They
right.
were just put at the last room at the end of the hall or farthest away from the nurse's station. It was awful. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy.
Well,
and if your pets get treated better than your loved ones,
yeah.
there's a problem with the system.
Yeah. And also, isn't the definition of doctor is to teach?
It is, but not anymore.
Yeah.
I joke around. I mean, you have to find a doctor who's... This is how you find the best doctors now, because it's become a teacher system. They should be independent, not employed by the hospital, and the smaller the better. Solo practitioner, two-person, three-person group. If they have a huge system, or they're part of it, or they're employees, they're not your advocate. They can't be, because they can't stay employed. And that's what people need to understand. The accountable care organizations, I know you've heard of those started to roll out this past year. And if you understand what they really mean, you would stay far away from them. Because the accountable care organization money is set by the government. They get paid a certain amount of money per year, and it has to be used to give care throughout their system. Doctors, ERs, radiology, the whole nine yards. They keep their money and make a profit at the end of the year based on what they didn't do. So they don't offer services as often because they have to pay for those. So that's why you're seeing telemedicine, anything to treat you by phone, not to admit you until you're really sick, not to readmit you if you have a problem. Just keep it as an outpatient because that's how they make their money. That is counter to healthcare. And the whole system is set up now to make money on the patient. And when you get too old or too sick, to make you comfortable.
Wow. I mean, that's a, gosh darn it.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I mean, but that's what people want, you know, as they think they want.
They thought they wanted it.
Yeah, to somebody to take care of you and take care of all your needs, and let's hand it over to the government to take care of us. And this is exactly what happens every single time. That's why the free market actually is better than the government, because it takes it down to the level where you're talking about people and not bureaucracies that are actually, you know, meeting out, you know, the law, the healthcare, take your pick. It's all across the board. Mm-hmm. Why the American dream was such a good dream for such a long time, and it's when we started handing over our rights and our responsibilities to bureaucrats some, you know, 2,000 miles away in some little corner of the country to take care of us, and now look what the results are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the beauty is you can take your power back. Liberty HealthShare is an example of it. Direct primary care practices, which I heard an ad in the break, that's exactly where the future of quality medicine is going. Subscriptions. I offer one in my ENT practice. $65 a month for an individual covers any ENT service I offer for that month. Hearing tests, allergy testing, endoscopic exams, discounts on surgery. People can afford that, right? I'm not gouging. It's all about volume, not about making a profit on everybody that comes in. I can offer discounted pharmaceuticals, prescriptions, because I have a pharmacy in my office. This is the innovation that exists now. Patients just need to know about it. If they go to aapsonline.org, that's the other version of the AMA for independent doctors like myself. There's a whole list of doctors across the country who do fee-for-service, sliding scale, barter, direct primary care. So we're out there. We're everywhere.
Well,
so people have been mind control to think that there's only one way to do this.
Well, I love what you're saying, because that's what we've been talking about, is that the narrative needs to change. The narrative is that government takes care of you, and you know, that's the only answer, when the answer is exactly the opposite. The narrative, and we're starting to see more and more of it, is the people taking responsibility, whether it's for their health care, whether it's for, you know, themselves, whether it's their own businesses, whatever. But we can take this country back. We can change it back to a free market model. We can mm-hmm. change it back to freedom, where, you know, the level of standard of living for everybody is a lot better. And people have to understand that you can take this back from the government. We're not subjects. We are sovereign citizens. And if we start exercising our rights under the Constitution, we can change this thing around into something real positive.
Yeah, and communal cooperation,
I actually believe that,
actually increases because people can afford to cooperate with each
yeah,
other.
Yeah, healthcare is actually affordable.
They're not trying to kill each other
it
for
is.
Scraps.
So that,
you know, it's... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, so where we can get a list of the doctors that are like-minded like you is AAPS?
Online.org.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested. I mean, looking at some of these things, it hits it right out of the park.
Well, yeah. And people need to know it, and it, you know, so that they do have the options out there and not get caught in the system from both sides.
You know, if people, what I like to say is, if people want Affordable Care Act, go for it, you can have it. But for those of us who are not happy with it, there's an alternative. There's a whole world out there that if you don't know it, you don't know how to get there. And that's why I wrote the book. And if people want to buy it, they can go to drelenagorge.com. That's my website. I've been writing about this for about 4 years now.
What is the name of the
book? I'm very passionate about it. It's Big Medicine, The Cost of Corporate Control, and How Doctors and Patients Working Together Can Rebuild a Better System.
And I'm assuming they can get that at Amazon.com or any place, or go to your... I'm looking at your website at drelenagorge.com, and the book is posted there for sale and a bunch of other information, and I suggest that everybody actually visit the website. That, again, that's drelenagorge.com, and check this stuff out and see if it's something that you're interested in and, you know, would be good for your family.
There's a lot of ways to do this. There's not one way. I mean, I've added Aflac. I actually cover my employees with this model. And I'm a small business. There's no way I was going to do Affordable Care Act. And now I'm covering 4 employees for less than $1,000. We added Aflac.
Wow.
And now they're actually paid to stay healthy. If anything happens, we bought a $250,000 policy. So if you get sick, you have a heart attack, you actually get a check from Aflac for $250,000.
Wow.
Imagine having the power to control your purse
for $20
a month. It's amazing.
We might actually have to look into that, because I looked into getting health care. I run a small business as well, and for me alone, it was $1,000 a month.
Oh, yeah, that's cheap.
A good deal.
Yeah, that's cheap
in that world.
I was like, well, I guess they're going to bury me in the yard because I can't afford that. With that, we probably should go to another break here. We're almost to the top of the hour.
We're almost to the top of the hour.
Can we just go to the top of the hour? Yeah, we'll just go to the top of the hour. And how long can you stay with us, Dr. Elena?
How long do you need me?
Well, you know, we can go after. I'm not sure when our next guest is.
Well, he's to come on at 10 o'clock or hard break, unfortunately.
Well, then we got a couple of minutes here. We need to probably get out there, whatever you need to, you know, you got a couple of minutes, Dr. Elena. Tell us anything that we haven't covered that we should, and then I guess we'll have to have you
we'll
come back on.
We'll have to have her back, and go over this some more and get more of the information out there for you and the people out there that are listening.
We never have enough time here.
I know. I'd love to come back because I love what I do, and I want to continue to do that, and I want my patients and every patient out there to be empowered, to take your power back, and to not worry about eating versus staying healthy. That's not where we should be.
Right.
And it's about health. And this is the way you do it. I mean, the book talks in detail about how we got here, who the players are. It gets rid of the spin. It's not a political book. It's about education. And finally, going everything we talked about at the end about how you things you can do to fix it yourself, that's also part of the solutions part of the book. So it's a labor of love, and I'm really happy I did it, because it's just, I didn't realize what people didn't know. But I live it every day, I breathe it, and I want to still do this when I'm, you know, 20 years from now. I don't want to be retiring early, and I refuse to do that.
Well, I want
to thank you for your time.
I never thought that I would actually consider moving to Georgia, but you're definitely making me think about it, especially because I live in California. But we appreciate
you. Come on down. I promise to take good care of you.
You never know. I might show up.
And that cost us an arm and a leg down there. With
we appreciate you. We appreciate your passion and the information you've shared, Dr. Elena. And like I say, we hope to see you again soon, or at least
talk to her. Yeah.
Anyway, I think we're about there.
They're gonna cut us off. So, thanks again, and have a great day,
thanks,
Doctor.
Guys.
All right, talk to you soon.
You too.
All right.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The leader of the House Freedom Caucus, made up of conservative Republicans, says the group is certainly interested in reports that Paul Ryan might run for Speaker.
We've endorsed Daniel Webster, but Paul Ryan is a good man. He's a great communicator, the kind of messenger I think our party needs. And certainly if he gets in the race, I think our group would look favorably on him.
Congressman Jim Jordan, talking to Fox News Sunday, says for now his caucus will stick with Webster of Florida. An Associated Press review of court records finds that some inmates once described as threats to society are amongst those preparing for early release in a push to overhaul criminal sentencing. About 6,000 inmates are due to be freed in the next month or so, the result of changes made last year to federal sentencing guidelines. The AP analysis of nearly 100 court cases also identifies defendants who carried guns, had past convictions for robbery and other crimes, moved cocaine between states, and participated in international heroin smuggling. Oklahoma, shaken by two moderate earthquakes this weekend.
Residents of Medford, about 90 miles northwest of Oklahoma City, were jolted around 4 o'clock Saturday morning by a 4.4 magnitude earthquake. Then about 12 hours later, at around 5:30 Saturday evening, a 4.5 magnitude quake shook an area near Cushing, where the world's most important crude oil storage hub is located. That's about 70 miles northeast of Oklahoma City. Several smaller shakers were felt in other parts of the state as well. No injuries or significant damage was reported in any event. Rhonda Rockstra reporting.
Turkey is appointing a 4-member panel to investigate yesterday's suicide bombings that killed 95 people in Ankara, the capital. Two chief civil inspectors and a pair of chief police inspectors will join up to handle the task. The government says 160 people remain hospitalized with injuries from the blasts. More on these stories at townhall.com.
America was built by people with a few dollars and a dream. And while many don't know it, there's one path to success that still only requires a dream and about $10. That's right. If your dream is to start or grow your business, something as simple as the right business card could make all the difference. And today, at Vistaprint.com, you can get 500 full-color business cards for only $9.99. That's right, 500 business cards for just $9.99. What's more, you can choose between hundreds of designs or upload your own and customize them easily. And because they're from Vistaprint.com, the cards are of top quality and your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. So visit Vistaprint.com today and get 500 shots at turning your dream into reality. Hurry, because this offer won't last long. To get your 500 business cards for just $9.99, go to Vistaprint.com, click on the link in the upper right corner, and use promo code 2323. That's Vistaprint.com, click on the link in the upper right corner, and use promo code 2323.
Turkey's military says two Syrian jets and surface-to-air missile systems based in Syria have harassed three F-16 jets patrolling the Turkish-Syrian border. A statement today says the missile systems locked on radar to the Turkish jets for 2 minutes, while the Syrian planes placed the Turkish planes under lock for 2.5 minutes. The incidents occurred yesterday. Turkey has been complaining about harassment of its jets on border patrols for the past week. Iran's semi-official Fars News Agency is reporting the country has successfully test-fired a new guided long-range ballistic surface-to-surface missile. The report today does not elaborate on the range of the missile or the specifics of the test firing. It says the new device is precision-guided and can be controlled until the moment of impact. Iran already claims to have surface-to-surface missiles with a range sufficient to hit Israel and U.S. military bases. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The U.S. Military Academy will honor the man who portrayed Lieutenant Dan in Forrest Gump when it gives actor Gary Sinise its annual Fair Award.
Sinise, also known for his role in the TV show CSI New York, will receive the award at West Point on October 22nd. The award's name for a former West Point superintendent and is given to citizens who serve the national interest. West Point cited Sinise's decades of advocacy for service members, including his work for the Disabled American Veterans Organization. Sinise also performs for troops as part of the Lieutenant Dan Band, named for the hard-nosed officer who befriends Forrest Gump. Past recipients of the Thayer Award include Dwight Eisenhower, Douglas MacArthur, Bob Hope, Neil Armstrong, Tom Brokaw, and Colin Powell. Keith Peters reporting.
Today is Sunday, October 11th, a birthday for a number of notable people, including former Defense Secretary William Perry. He's 88 years old, actress Joan Cusack, 53. More on these stories at townhall.com.
He said he loved his newly purchased travel trailer until he towed it. Now I hate it because it swayed and shimmied so badly it shook the truck. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Our inspection revealed the rear axle was tracking straight ahead, but the front axle was pointed 1/2 inch to the left. The axles were working against each other for direction of travel, a dangerous condition. We corrected the tracking so both axles worked together. When the owner came to get his trailer, we asked him to call us after he had towed the trailer. Customer satisfaction is important. He called later and said, "It felt like a different trailer. It's perfect. I love it again." Coachmaster is a complete body and paint shop featuring the largest frame machine in Northern California, utilizing laser beams and 3D imaging for accuracy. Computerized paint matching too, of course. Redding, California.
Shasta Lake Floors, 8 times honored as best in the North State and the area's only Karastan Premier wholesaler, is offering huge savings right now on all Karastan products. Recently, Shasta Lake Floors was the recipient of the Karastan Design Display Gallery, the only carpet dealer in the area to be awarded such an opportunity. And now through October 26th, Shasta Lake Floors is offering tremendous savings on all Karastan and Mohawk flooring products, with no interest financing until 2018 available. Since 1928, Karastan has been recognized as America's premier carpet manufacturer, producing carpets with the newest technology, high-performance fibers with an elegance and style not seen in any other carpet. And if you don't see the color you want, you can have your new Karastan carpet dyed in any custom color you desire. You deserve the best, and now you can afford it at Shasta Lake Floors. Let the area's most experienced flooring wholesalers help you beautify your home with the most gorgeous and durable carpet made, Karastan, at the lowest possible prices. Shasta Lake Floors, 4052 Shasta Dam Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake.
The sound of a delicious wine. The sound of community awareness in the fight against breast cancer. Join KCNR and Westside Wine on October 15th for Think Pink Day. Stop by between 5 and 7 p.m. at Westside Wines, located at 1872 Buenaventura Boulevard, where Linda Bott will be our celebrity host, pouring glasses of rosé to benefit our local Think Pink organization. Bottles of rosé will be 30% off, and a percentage of all the sales that night will be donated to Think Pink. Come join us, a great local business, and support this amazing cause. You can help us spread the word about the importance of early detection. Save the date, October 15th. For more information, call Westside Wines at 941-1890.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising 'cause we're fed up.
Welcome back.
Here in the second hour of Sovereign Mind Radio. Hey, you know, the home of the Free Fire Community Radio for the North State, you know, where we rock 'em and sock 'em and tell the truth. And yeah, gosh darn, unlike the mainstream media, I hate that. I hate to say gosh darn because I want to say something else, but. I know
it's like saying fair and balanced.
You got Bob over there, his hand hovering over the button, you know, in anticipation of Mark slipping up once again in 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
There's just some things that need to be said.
It is Sunday morning.
I see that was like tossing up a softball, you know, just waiting for somebody to hit it. You can see all their faces light up. Somebody's ready to swing the bat. Who's going to get up to the plate? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I see how it is.
Knew the fastball was coming the whole time.
I see how it is. I see how it is around here.
Anyway. We got our signals going, right?
Anyway, we have a guest on the line. Our next guest, you know, we've got a great lineup today, Jake McCauley, and he is from the Institute, or I'm assuming he's still the Chief Operating Officer for the Institute for the Constitution, the IOTC. He leads strategic plan implementations, provides programmatic leadership, and speaks to groups across the country. He established the American Club, a youth outreach program designed to support students to study the American view of law and government. Probably unlike the current regime that is understanding the current view of collectivism and redistribution of the wealth. Are you there, Jake?
What?
I am definitely here, and thank you so much, Mark and Linda, for having me on the show with you guys.
We appreciate it.
I wanted to throw in there, he's an ordained minister, too.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yes. Double threat.
Yeah.
So another reason to watch your mouth, right? You know, Mark?
And it is Sunday morning, and there's clouds out there.
I just want to know, can you do the soft shoe, then you're a triple threat, okay? Anyway.
Well, I've been there before myself. I used to do radio for quite some time in my travels, and I'll tell you what, sometimes with what's going on, it just so blows your mind that you need God to sanctify your mouth because there's plenty of bad things that could come out of it.
Oh, yeah, yes.
God might have to do a little overtime on mine because sometimes it's just too much. You can't help it, you know. I mean, of course I can help it, but it just gets so frustrating sometimes with the current things that are going on. But we're talking about, we got to start changing the narrative. You know, the narrative is that we're winning, you know, and that's the truth.
Correct.
You know, the truth is that we're winning because the truth is starting to come to light through alternative media sources. You know, guests like you and yourself and the work that you're putting in out there to change the narrative and start getting back to what the founders envisioned, which was a moral, free America.
Amen. Amen. And that's where we need to start from, because that's where our founders started from. And I think the huge advantage that we have right now is we don't have to reinvent anything. We don't have to come up with a new idea or a new plan implementation. It's all right there, and it's been there. I used to live outside of D.C. We're headquartered, the Institute on the Constitution, just outside of Washington, D.C., and I would go to the National Archives building quite a bit because I loved to look at the documents of the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and the Constitution. These were the originals, and it was just awe-inspiring, and I would show my children. But I realized, Mark, after so long, that it's just paper unless the people are going to enforce it. No different than a law. A law is just a written command. It's the enforcement power that needs to back it up. And we, the people, are that enforcement power. And if we go to sleep, unfortunately, those that we've delegated authorities to will not only take on themselves those authorities, but they will aggrandize authorities to themselves. And that's when we lose liberty, because just as James Madison said, every word of the Constitution is a difference between power and liberty. So when we give up some of our powers, when we give up some of our liberties in exchange, we give government power. And so that's a delicate balance. And I think the founders knew that, saw that, envisioned that, and did a pretty good job preserving that for us. Unfortunately, I think we're kind of asleep at the wheel right now. But due to shows like yourself and all the others across the nation, there are ways to it. We can kind of be that prophetic voice speaking truth to society and keeping us on the straight and narrow which is that delicate balance.
I think that it's starting to change, and I think the tide is turning. It's going to be a little bit. It's like driving an aircraft carrier. It doesn't just spin on a dime. It takes a little while. But I absolutely believe it, that you're right. Frederick Bastiati said that, or Bastiat, or however you say his last name, I never get it right. You know, said that law is force. And that's what we're talking about. If you can't force it, then it's not really law. And that goes both ways, whether it's from the top-down model of the federal government or from the bottom-up model of the people, where we force them to start following the law. And that's what needs to happen here, and start following the Constitution and start following God's law, if you will, which was what the Constitution was based on, was the precept that man can govern himself.
That's right. And, you know, when you read the Declaration of Independence, you brought up two great things. A lot of people understand law. They understand as a police officer, a guy with a badge. But when I ask, what is the source of law, most folks would say government or municipal laws come from council members or county council members, city council members, etc. But law has its source, its very root, in God. And the reason that God created law is because God created human beings. At the Institute of the Constitution, we have what's called the American view. We believe and subscribe to the fact there is a God, an almighty God, because it says in the Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. So we're equally created in God's image. If there's a creator, obviously, or if there's a creation, there must be a creator, God. Secondly, he has endowed us with inalienable rights, or unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So our rights come from him. So number one, there is a God. Number two, our rights come from him. Then why in the world do we have civil government? Well, it's very purposefully implemented in the Bible, Romans 13. It's to bear the sword, justice, to protect those that practice right living. So in the Declaration of Independence, it says, for this reason, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. I'm sorry, first it says to secure the rights of us, we the people. Governments are instituted among men. So the purpose of government is merely to secure our rights. Now, a right is something we have the freedom to exercise. We don't have the freedom to break the law. Whose law? God's law. William Blackstone was a very famous jurist. He was also an attorney, and he didn't necessarily codify, but he brought together English common law in a three-volume set. It was very popular in colonial days. As a matter of fact, most common law judges would use a quote from his works to settle a case. And he said, a municipal law, in other words, a man-made law, things that Congress does or things that councils do on the local level, if it does not square with the law of God and nature's God, remember Jefferson always quoted the laws of nature and nature's God and said we have a right, we have as a people the right to be self-governed. He said, if it doesn't square with God's law and nature's God, then it's not law. You can call it law. It may look like law. It may smell like law. But law does not come from a legislator's pen. It does not come from a gun, the point of a gun, from the executive branch. Law comes from God. And if we can go there, now we have a source, now we have a commonality, now we have a common ground, and we can say, hey, even government is subject to law because there's a higher law, and that's God's law.
Well, much earlier in the Bible, is God tried to tell the people that you don't want a government to begin with. When the Israelites were begging for a king, he told them, you don't want a king, you don't want government. If you will simply behave in the manner that I prescribed to you, you don't require it. And people would not listen.
That's true. If they would have stuck with their republic, which that's what most people are confused about nowadays, they think that we live in the United States of America. We have a democracy. We don't. You know, I often have my students, I teach students this. So from grade school up through high school, we teach homeschoolers, we're in public schools, we're in private schools teaching our curriculum. And I ask kids, what do you think, we're a democracy or a republic? They say democracy because they think, you know, well, majority and it's we the people. But they're very confused. It's become convoluted from both parties, Republican and Democrat. All of them are espousing that we are a democracy. I think Ronald Reagan was the last person to call us a republic. But that republic, in the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic, not democracy. So in this republic that we have as a nation, we have the ability to be governed by law. And even our leaders are subject to that. And when our leaders cease to be subject to that, then what are they really saying? We're above God. So when the Supreme Court hands down an opinion and says that, no, federal government is in charge of your health care. Now, who did God ordain health, education, and welfare to? That was to the family. It was not to civil government. Remember, civil government's job is only to secure your rights. It's not to give you anything. It's not to give you a job. It's not to give you food stamps. It's not to make sure that your seatbelt is buckled. It's not to make sure that you wear a helmet when you go on a bike ride. They've gone outside of their jurisdiction. Unfortunately, they've usurped what belongs to God. And when government becomes God, we become dependent upon them. Then we start to worship it, no different than Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. He built big statues, wanted people to worship it. When Hitler would walk past, he would fine you if you didn't put out your hand, extend your hand, and say the word that he was the dictator-in-chief. This is what governments start to do. And why is that? And I think the biggest reason why it is, and this is what my mission is in life, because I was not always a Christian, is that God is sovereign over all things. If we eliminate God from this political discussion, or whatever you want to call this discussion, then we miss the whole thing, because now we don't have security of rights, because those are God-given. Get rid of God. Now who do we look to? Government. And isn't that the problem? The more we look to them, the more authority they take, and the more authority they take, the more miserable we are, and the less liberty that we have.
Well, I agree. I mean, boy, that was a mouthful.
Well, sorry about that.
No, it's okay. I was still contemplating everything you were saying. Maybe what you could talk a little bit about, too, is natural law, and explain that, because a lot of people don't understand natural law. And, you know, and like you said, if our rights are coming from God and that's the natural law, who can take them away? You know, so a lot of people miss that. You know, they talk about the natural law. It's not necessarily codified. It's the evident, you know, the self-evident law that comes from, you know, just being, you know, in the universe.
And
absolutely. And that's a good thing. I'm glad you bring that up. Did I interrupt you? I'm sorry.
Oh, no. One of the things that I wanted to throw in there, and maybe you could clarify, too, is how much of our republic that we have lost. Because in many instances in our government now, we are a democracy, as if you take the model that many state governments are operating on, such as in California here, the republic system has been broken, and we are operating mainly along the lines of a straight democracy.
Well, I think, too, what we have to acknowledge is, well, first of all, in a republic, there is security of everybody's rights. In other words, the minority still has rights, no matter what the majority says. But at times, you'll see a government system, and this happened with the Declaration of Independence. They started to usurp or go outside of the bounds that God had ordained them to stay in. A great example of this, biblically speaking, if you're a Christian listening and thinking, well, you know, God said, render to Caesar what is Caesar's. Jesus did. Yes, he did. Jesus legitimized Caesar's authority and said, render to Caesar what is Caesar's. But right after that, he said, render to God what Caesar doesn't want. No, he didn't say that. He said, render unto God what is God's. So he ordained Caesar, he ordained it, Romans 13. He ordained Caesar's jurisdiction, but he limited it. And the way we limit our federal government is the same way that referees limit the football players. They put boundaries.
Also,
the football player.
Also, Jake, you know, I have to jump in on that, because it also,
yeah,
if you read the full passage, what it says is that the Pharisees were trying to get, were asking him whether he paid the tax or not. And, you know,
yeah,
it says he sensed their treachery. So first of all, they're trying to trick him into saying that he doesn't pay the tax. And
yeah,
my answer to that, too, is that, you know, we are sovereign citizens. We abolished the fiefdom, the kingdom, a long time ago, and we are the kings of our country and in our domain on the local level. So it no longer applies that you render unto Caesar, because we are the Caesars.
Yeah, well, and that's a good way of looking at it. A lot of people would say that if you apply Romans 13, where God ordained ministers, he called those ministers civil government. In other words, serving as a governor, you're God's minister, just like as serving as a pastor. There's no one that's holier than the other. As a matter of fact, I would say that in the secular, or how we would understand the secular world, business-wise, Hobby Lobby has probably set the single most liberating religious precedent in the past decade or two, far more than any preacher that I've noticed. Not that preachers are doing a bad job, but God will use who he will use. So everything we do is worship to him. But you brought up natural law, and going back to our framers quoted three individual men more than any other individual, like way more. And one of them was John Locke. Did you like that way more? I don't even know if that's proper English. But John Locke, he was from England, and he died in 1704. He was raised in a Puritan family. He was basically Christian, but he would not be thought of as orthodox, no more than maybe Thomas Jefferson would be. But both claimed Christianity, or the title of Christianity, just weren't regular churchgoers. His main works was the first treatise on civil government. If you haven't read it, you can go to audiobooks, download it. It's free. It's brilliant. And our founders extracted everything they needed for the Declaration of Independence out of it. And what Locke said is the government was established by a covenant or a contract of the people. So going back to biblical times, that is how the republic was set up. Moses told the people, because he was commanded by God, choose you such men to rule over you. And they would rule over thousands, over hundreds, and over fifties. So there's your federal, state, and local government systems. He said, men of truth, hating covetousness, such as fear God, and it must be one of your own brothers, natural-born citizens. All of those things extracted were preached every time there was an election. Every church was politically involved, making sure that their constituency or their congregation voted on the best church member. And by the way, anybody running for office had better be a church member, or they wouldn't be allowed into civil service, because they had to swear an oath believing that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and that the Bible was the inherent word of God. That was the standard to serve in the original 13 colonies. John Locke said the government has ordained the law of nature, to which all human law must be subordinate. I mean, try to jump off a building. You can't do away with gravity. It controls you. The law controls you, and there will be a consequence for breaking it. You may survive, but you will be hurt. And by that law, he said, this law of nature, are God-given natural rights. Because God created nature. You can see that in Genesis. God created man and woman as well. The God-given rights are these: life, liberty, and property. But Jefferson understood, and so did the five members that were on the committee to write the Declaration of Independence, that men in the South thought that other men were their property, chattel slavery, one of the biggest abomination we've ever had in our nation. Therefore, they said the right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, so that people would look at all men created in God's image with the ability to pursue happiness. And later on, Martin Luther King Jr. subscribed to that document and said, hey, it says it right here. Now be true to what you say on paper, because oftentimes humans, including human institutions, including our own government, become very hypocritical when it comes to power. So laying these things out, John Locke, then 100 years later, our founders take it, extract it, after the great religious revival of the first Great Awakening. Jonathan Edwards was one of the preachers. George Whitefield was one of the main preachers. He was also the most popular man in the colonies. Of course, George Washington and maybe Benjamin Franklin later took that over in the later 1700s after he passed away. But religious revival came and brought this Renaissance back to the Spirit of God and things of God, and now they could look at a king and see his tyrannical usurpations were trying to take the place of God. After all, in England, he was in charge of the church and the state. And so our founder said, whoa, 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 no man can be lord over my conscience. You could be brought to the stake, you could be drawn and quartered, you could be tortured because of your religious beliefs. In England, our founder said, no, there is a separation between church and state. State is not allowed to go into the realm of my conscience. Therefore, we have freedom of worship. But again, when they said religion, they were referring to the Christian religion. There was just so many of them. Like when I was a kid, people would ask me, what religion am I? I say Catholic. My friend would say Lutheran. My other friend would say Methodist. My other friend would say Baptist. That was our religion. But it was all under the umbrella of Christianity. So Locke establishing that, then people came along like Hume, who said that, and this was, of course, over in Europe. Our founders never subscribed to this, but we're well aware of it. Hume said, all we need is the law of nature. We can look into nature. We don't need the Bible and all that religious stuff. But unfortunately, nature is fallen, isn't it? We look into nature, and we see animals doing some pretty crude things and barbaric things. So therefore, because nature is fallen, it says this in the book of Romans, we have to have another type of law, and this is what Blackstone referred to as the revealed law. How did God reveal his perfect will to us? He gave us his Bible. If you want to hear God talk, read his Bible and look it up. Our founders used the Bible as their reference source in framing the Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation, and then later on the United States Constitution, which we are under right now. they quoted the Bible as their source of authority for the reason that we have, for instance, separation of powers, because they knew man's heart is desperately wicked and evil. Who could know it? The book of Jeremiah said that. Therefore, they said, in convention, because of this, we have to separate powers, three branches. That's why we have the legislative, the executive, and the judicial. And then where did they come up with that idea? You read the book of Isaiah 33:22, where it says, God is our lawgiver, God is our judge, God is our king. He will save us. There's your three branches from a Hebrew prophet thousands of years before the founders even took to this task. The Bible permeates it all. God permeates it all. And I am so glad and so blessed to be living in this nation. And we ought to point all of our fingers right back to Him if we want to get back on track.
Well, and, you know, I also got to say that, you know, from a perspective of a person who is not a Christian or doesn't believe in God, the fact is that it was brilliant that they came up with a solution to, you know, government-given rights. And government-given rights can be taken away by government. So if all your rights are invested in God, then only God can take them away. And I think that was a part of the brilliance. Also, going back to England, you know, I think the big separation was when King John declared himself head of the church as opposed to Jesus Christ. And that was the big separation there, because, you know, what that did was, again, take the power and put it back to government as the wielder of the law and our rights.
And what,
absolutely.
And with that, we're going to have to go to a break, and we'll pick up this discussion on the other side. If you want to call in with a question or comment, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night. Blinded by the light. Wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night.
U202, the only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions, including classics like sweet potato fries, U202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite, Mai Mai Almondine. Also new, 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from beer braised chicken, spicy Italian sausage, to seared wild mushrooms. Try their smoked steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with bottomless mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. View 202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. View 202, 226-8439. That's 226-8439.
For 45 years, the Reading Civic Auditorium has been an important resource in the North State for entertainment, fundraising events, trade shows, and conferences. In the past 3 years, over $1 million have been put back into this iconic structure. We invite you to be a part of the Civic's revitalization by becoming a member. We think you'll love the benefits, and your support will help to sustain its revitalization and strong community connection. Visit ReadingCivic.com or the box office to become a Reading Civic member.
Fall is just around the corner, and if you're looking for that special gift or a wardrobe fix, Dandelion is your destination. Located at 1322 Pine Street, walk into the all-new and expanded Dandelion Boutique, and you'll discover the largest selection of Brighton in the North State. Every day, there are new arrivals with the latest styles and colors. Let one of the gals at Dandelion help you select what's right for your body type. Friendly, always fashionable, Dandelion. Open 10 to 5:30 Monday through Friday and 10 to 5 on Saturday.
In the 40s, Redding Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Redding Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Redding with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Redding Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Redding Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
Want to have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco and Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco and Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. These cigs of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco and Brew, coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
Uncle Bob, where did Mount Shasta spring water come from? Well, you see, we get wrung out of the clouds as we pass over the top of Mount Shasta. Then we become part of huge glaciers. Then we flow through miles of volcanic rocks. Then we pop out of a spring at the base of Mount Shasta. Uncle Bob, where did I come from? You'll have to ask your parents about that one.
Pure and simple, naturally the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
For free delivery and setup, call 1-800-922-6227. Or go to MountShastaSpringWater.com.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, no, I won't be afraid, oh, I won't be afraid, just as long as you stand by me. So darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Stand by me. If the sky that we look upon should tumble and fall, or the mountain should crumble to the sea, I won't cry, I won't cry, no, I won't shed a tear, just as long as you stand by me. And walk stand now, stand by me, stand by me.
The Sovereign Mind Radio. We're kind of cracking up over the break. We're going to cover this a little bit later on Glencore and Mark Rich, but we've got to talk about this pyramid of values. Anyway, let's get back to our guest. That'll be in the last hour. We'll talk about a sustainable approach to investing from Glencore, you know, the guy that brought you Mark Rich, or the other way around. Anyway, we're talking to Jake McCauley, and we're talking about natural law, how the Constitution governs us, how, you know, really there are no laws in the United States that are legal, that are contrary to God's law. I mean, isn't that the bottom line here? Isn't that the final approach? That if they make, you know, they keep telling us they make rulings at the court level, but they're really opinions and not rulings, but rulings sound so much better because it sounds like we're being ruled over. But the real deal is it's just their opinion. But if their opinions are contrary to natural law, you know, in other words, if they make a law that says, hey, we can kill kids, You know, we're not obligated to follow that law.
Absolutely. You know what? And that's what they're doing right now, and that's the analogy I wrote down on the break. This is so good. When I address crowds, I generally will use this analogy to convey the point that you're making. I'll ask people, do you believe that we are born equal? Raise your hand. And everybody pretty much raises their hand. Says, yeah, I mean, that sounds good, right? I mean, we're all equal. None of us are racist in here. We think everybody's God's a creature of God, et cetera. And then I'll say, well, you're wrong. It sounds great, doesn't it? But if we're born equal, then what about the child who is not born? And that is what the Supreme Court has said. But the Declaration of Independence says contrary to that, which is a greater law than the Supreme Court. Because remember, the Supreme Court are only referees. They can't invent rules. Imagine if you were at a football game and one of the teams is getting beat so badly, so the referees created a new rule to handicap the winning team. The entire stands, all the crowds, they would be in an uproar. You can't change the rules. You're a referee. You're to apply the rules, not invent and create new ones and interpret them the way that you want to. But that's what the Supreme Court has done. They were supposed to be the least powerful branch. They are the least, as far as in enumerated powers, the least powerful branch of government. The Supreme Court now is contrary to God because the Declaration says we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. So a person is created in the womb. And Article 5 of the Bill of Rights says no person shall be deprived of the right to life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Child in the womb has never committed a crime. Supreme Court says we can exterminate that life, that child. And let me tell you what, folks, if there's no security for life of the most innocent people in our country, there is no security for your life. And this is where the slippery slope begins. We allow the Supreme Court, which you made the point, they issue opinions. It says it right on the top of their paper. It's only an opinion, and it only applies to the case before them. Unfortunately, we codify it because we've bought into this case law method, and we want to see what the judges are going to say, and then we try to develop our reasoning before it gets there, etc.
Well, precedence is actually contrary to what it's supposed to be. I mean, that's what they've done.
That way now.
Yeah, they've based law on precedence, not law.
Yep, and you know who told us that? Mm-hmm. William Blackstone, one of the top three human authors that our founders quoted. And they said that judicial activism, essentially, but he came with the concept of judicial restraint, where judges do not make law, they discover and apply law. In other words, from what already exists. But think about if we take it now to the next step. This is how asinine this is for us to listen to the Supreme Court. What if all of us want to fly? I would like to fly. I'm sure you would, Mark. I'm sure you would, Linda. I'm sure you would, Bob. We'd all like to fly. Most people would. Wouldn't that be cool? But there's one thing that discriminates against us, and it's homophobic, because it doesn't let homosexuals fly. It's heterophobic. It doesn't let heterosexuals fly. It's sexist. It doesn't let women fly. It doesn't let men fly. And it's very racist, because it doesn't let blacks, orientals, Mexicans, white people, nobody can fly. It's fully discriminatory. It's called the law of nature. So we petition the Supreme Court. Say, this is unconstitutional. It's denying our right to fly. So the Supreme Court looks at it and says, yeah, well, it sounds like what the people would like to fly, so let's get rid of this law. So, bang, they pound the gavel. They write up their opinion. They say that the law of gravity is no longer constitutional. So tomorrow morning, we all get up on top of our houses or our buildings, and we attempt to fly. What happens? Well, that law of gravity still exists.
A lot of people tried this. A lot of people tried this in the early 60s, by the way.
Yeah. I think that baker's trying it all the time right now.
Anyway, sorry.
I think I just grab a cup of coffee and watch
the
show.
But that is true. There's always a consequence to breaking the law, no matter if in your brain you think there's not going to be, because God's created law. So there's only one security for our rights. It's to obey God's law. And again, why does God give law? Picture it like they did in old days where we would build a fence or a wall around our city that was for protection. So our rights are inside of that wall. The law is outside of it, protecting it. Why would we want to strip down or strip away our very defense mechanism? The enemy will leverage that mechanism and go in it every time to strip away your rights and your liberties. And that's the purpose of the law, and that's why we should obey God and God's law.
And you know, it kind of brings up what I wanted to kind of slide into a little bit, too, is that the federal government was created by the states, and the states were created by us, the people, based on, Republican form of government where, the law is vested in the people, and those rights were enumerated to the federal government, and they were specific very many. And so they have gone overboard with that. So can you talk a little bit about the states actually creating the federal government and enumerating those powers and why they are limited?
Absolutely. James Madison in Federalist Paper 45 said the powers delegated by the proposed Constitution to the federal government are few and defined. So in other words, they're very clear. You and I could look at them and say, hey, that's not an Article 1, Section 8. Why are you doing it, i.e. Obamacare? For just one example, those which are to remain in the state governments are numerous and indefinite. So he said that, and he was one of the chief architects. He's quoted by some as being the father of the Constitution. The Ninth Amendment says the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights. So in other words, we've explained we have certain rights, like the right to freedom of religion, freedom of worship, right to bear arms, right to freedom of speech, etc. So just because we listed some, shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. So we may not have listed all of them in there, but all of those that we didn't list, those belong to the people too. Those are not yours, federal government. Keep your mitts off of them. Then we put the third nail in the coffin to limit federal government, called the 10th Amendment. The power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states. Are reserved to the states, respectively, or to the people. So what is not listed in there defaults back to the states. If the states don't have the jurisdiction, then the people have the jurisdiction. So we can look at it like this. Our founders knew that men were sinful. They had studied the thousands of years of government systems in Europe, and they had just came out of a tyrannical situation themselves. So it's very important to them to choose each word carefully in the Constitution, what they're going to delegate to this federal system. And the way that they chose to do that was by keeping the power among themselves, within the people, the citizens of each state. And to put the check on federal government even more, they said, hey, look, here is the list of stuff, like the football field I was talking about before. We're going to put in chalk lines. That's the Constitution. You have to stay in bounds. So when the football goes out of bounds, the play stops. Everybody stops. We grab that ball. We bring it back in bounds where it went out of bounds. And we resume play. Now, because our founders also knew men's sinful nature, again, there's a heavy emphasis on this. We are fallen creatures. We don't just need a good environment, we'll be good people. We are inherently sinful, which is why we need the redemptive power of Christ, which is why we need a robust, universal approbation for Christianity, the things of God, and the Bible, which is why it should be very much involved in government, which is why there's chaplains of the House of Representatives and the Senate, why we started with prayer and still continue to pray in those very chambers. Because we all had to know our accountability to God. That's why we swore an oath, putting our hand on the Bible, saying, so help me God, as George Washington started that tradition. So, but we also understood, the Anti-Federalists understood, that government, in about 100 years, they're going to forget all this nonsense. They're going to try to demonize those that founded the country, and they were very far-sighted. They knew this, so they said we wanted a Bill of Rights, which erected a cement wall on those boundaries. So it has taken over 200 years to pound holes in and knock down certain portions of the wall, and we're still in relatively good shape. I know things are bad, don't get me wrong, I'm not dumb. But we're in very good shape compared to many countries where government dominates and owns everything in their lives. Some people may argue with me and say that that's already the case, but I would say our foundation still remains.
Well,
we just need to apply that foundation.
That kind of feathers into gun control, because I think that is the bottom line here at this point, to a degree, is that, and look at the example of Oregon and how they want to get our guns so bad they can't hardly stand it. But, that is the final arbiter of our rights, is to be able to defend ourselves.
Sure.
And is forced. That's really what it comes down to, is that if we have to force our rights to be acknowledged, that might be the way we have to do it. And they can't get them away from us at this point, because everybody's waking up to the fact that it's not about hunting or shooting or having fun. It's about, being able to protect yourself from a tyrannical government that's out of control, who wants to subjugate you with tyranny.
That's right, and that was another check, of course, on that federal system. This was the federal government, because the states were very jealous over their rights, and that's how federalism worked. It was shared power among the states. But we had a war between the states, where, unfortunately, we had an administration that usurped a lot of power. Now, I'm not going to get into all the details of that, but that was where America started to shift the thought of, hey, we're free and independent states. Again, not justifying anything, and this is a very big can of worms, so I'm only briefly touching on this. But we started to look to the federal government as being the central power. Then, where is most of the power consolidated? Well, Congress stopped wearing their big boy pants and checking the court system. For example, I don't know if anybody's aware of this, but Congress could literally shut down every single appellate court across the nation. The only one they can't close the doors of is the Supreme Court. We could shut them all down. Or they could limit them and say, hey, federal courts, you have no jurisdiction within religious matters of a state. So if a school wants to have school prayer, if a school wants to have a nativity scene, if the city administrators want to have a nativity scene or open their council chambers or council meetings with prayer, you can't rule on that. Congress could do these things, but instead they just blame the court about how they're out of control. And I like to quote this meme I put on my Facebook recently. To President Reagan, shot in the chest, walked into the hospital without assistance, and still opposed gun control, like a boss, it says. So we clearly have a different mentality that has invaded our higher offices right now.
No, we used to actually think like men. We used to actually think like men.
That's right. Well, and this isn't an issue of protecting the people anymore. It's an issue of breaking down or fundamentally transforming. I mean, the president said this out of his own mouth, and he's getting taken to task for it. Fundamentally transforming the foundations of America. We didn't vote you in to ask you to do that. We voted you in and made you swear an oath to uphold the Constitution, not change it, not reinvent it, not engineer it the way that you thought is fit for you and those that put you there for whatever reason.
And with that, we're going to have to go to a break. And when we get back, we've got a caller on the line, Jake. And so we will go to the break and come back with our caller. Again, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. But though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see, there will be an answer, let it be.
Kyle DeCour from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our community for a great summer season and invite everyone to come enjoy our newly expanded fall beer selection. Take and bake pizzas, daily deli specials under $5, and fresh-made breakfast every day. Our family has been part of Shasta County since the 1930s, and we're proud to advertise our local business on local radio. Come shop with your friends and neighbors at Mighty Fine Foods at the corner of 299 and Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday, October 16th at 7:30 a.m. on Free Fire Radio here on AM 1460 KCNR.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. Centrally located in Memphis, Tennessee, GI Pathology delivers results to its nationwide client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to gipath.com for more information.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9
on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
So you think you're a Romeo? Playing a part in a picture show. Well, take the long way home. Take the long way home. You're the joke of the neighborhood. Why should you care if you're feeling good? Well, take the long way home. Take the long way home.
Sovereign Mind Radio, we're back. I just want to mention that Jake will be at the tea party tomorrow night. I think we kind of let that fall through the cracks a little bit here.
Oh, we were going to get there because we only have about 6 minutes left with him, but I was going to make sure that we got that out there.
Very good. So, like I say, anybody who's interested in hearing more about this subject, please feel free to go to the tea party. Whether you want to become a member or not is not the issue, but we do have people with knowledge that show up and talk about these kind of things because, like we were just talking about in the break, we've got to get back to a moral basis in society whether we can all, that we can all agree to, whether you're religious or not. Otherwise, nobody has any liberty. So with that, we got about 5 minutes, Jake. So, you know, if you've got anything to cover that we haven't talked about, now's the time.
Well, I would say I want to say something to that, but then I want to talk about another issue that is jurisdiction interposition. Where do we go from here when government does not listen? But I would say this, and I would plead with you. The saving grace of Jesus Christ changed my life when I was 17 years old, and it is the reason that I am who I am now and the reason why I do what I do now. And there is nothing better than living with the assurity of your eternal salvation in Him. Secondly, I ask atheists this. I do it at the Capitol building, so I ask them, where do your rights come from? And they say, the Constitution. And I say, well, the Declaration of Independence tells us, and so does the Constitution, acknowledges that our rights come from God. So if our rights come from God, how can you not believe in that God and believe you still have a security of rights? Who are you trusting? The government. And we both chuckle because you know you can't trust the government system. Then who's it left up to? It's either going to be God or man. So not trusting in God is a very silly thing, and it's a very slippery slope. And you can look at all the nations, for instance, if I think France is the best. They tried to secure independence without God, even acknowledging God. They blasphemed God. They took out the Sabbath day. They took off Christmas and all the holy holidays out of their calendar, and they collapsed and miserably fell into the hands of another dictator. So multiple times we have attempted to do this without God and failed. We have the best example here. It's because we've clung to Him. Next, what happens when government believes it is God? Well, there is this word, and it's not spoken of much anymore, but it was at one time among the states. It's called interposition and nullification. Webster's 1828 says about jurisdiction, because as we're talking about the football field government is allowed to play on. 1828, of course, was the first codified English language dictionary of the United States. Webster said the limit within which power may be exercised. So the federal government, we can know the power they have the ability to exercise. We can find it in Article 1, Section 8. If you haven't read the Constitution, first of all, you need to. It's not very long. It's not very difficult. But Article 1, Section 8 is your cue card. Whenever somebody's trying to run for office, you ask them what they're intending to do, make sure that it's all found there. Next, we have interposition. If they go outside of their jurisdiction, how do we stop that? Well, interposition, Webster stated, was an intervening agency as the interposition of the magistrate in quieting sedition. How many evidences have we of divine interposition in the favor of good men? The reason that I love Jesus Christ is because I saw him interpose between me and the wrath of God that I definitely deserved. He interposed. He took that upon himself. Government is to interpose. That's why they're to defend the borders. They may not be doing a good job of it right now, but that is the purpose, to secure those on the homeland. So when we interpose, why are we interposing? A great way to understand this is, if you're going to hire a guard dog to protect your daughter, I have a daughter, I'm sure many of you listening do, you're going to hire a tough dog, a mean dog, a pit bull preferably. But just because you put the pit bull in the yard, does that make the pit bull the authority of your house? No. Does it make it the lawgiver? No. Does it make it the boss? No. And what happens when the pit bull attacks your daughter instead of protecting her? You interpose. You get between your daughter and the pit bull that you originally hired, quote unquote, we can call it the federal government, and you stop it to protect the rights of you, yourself, your family, ultimately your daughter. Now that's the purpose of the lesser magistrate. So if a federal agency wants to come into Jefferson, California, I'll speak prophetically. I'm just kidding. I'm not a prophet.
We're gonna get cut off here, Jake. If you want to stay a little bit longer after the hour, we can do that. We have to take the break here in 30 seconds. So.
Yeah, they'll cut us off no matter what.
Yeah, and so. We have Billy Bob on the line. He can go ahead. Go ahead and stay on the line, and we'll catch this after the break.
Well, I'm going to speak of interposition when I come to Reading, so I hope you all can make it.
More Sovereign Minds next on KCNR Shasta Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. House Republicans trying to decide on a speaker, Jason Chaffetz of Utah.
The role of the speaker is to be the constitutional officer that makes sure that the process is fair, it's balanced, we protect minority rights, and that we allow these good bills and ideas to percolate from the bottom up.
He's actually running for speaker, but tells ABC TV this morning he would step aside if Paul Ryan would get into the race. Both conservatives and centrists within the House GOP are now indicating they would support Ryan. He, however, has said he doesn't want the job. Ryan might be reconsidering. Turkey is appointing four-member panel, to investigate yesterday's suicide bombings that killed 95 people in Ankara, the capital. Two chief civil inspectors and two chiefs of police will handle the task. The government says 160 people remain hospitalized with injuries. Elsewhere, 14 members of ISIS have been arrested in a central Turkish town. If you run a business in New York City, come next year, you'd better watch out for the AC police.
That's because the city has a new law taking effect next summer that requires stores and restaurants to keep their front doors closed when the air conditioning is on. The New York Times reports Mayor Bill de Blasio feels that leaving the doors open, as inviting as that might be, is a big waste of energy while the AC is running. Violators face fines of $250 for a first offense, up to $1,000 for an egregious violation.
Correspondent Rich Thomason. Germany's new government coordinator for refugees says the waves of newcomers can be handled, but only if bureaucracy is streamlined and the asylum process is speeded up. Former Irish banking executive David Drum is in custody in Massachusetts after his arrest on an extradition warrant. He's allegedly at the center of an Irish banking scandal. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Two little tablets is all it takes to make your thin hair feel and look thicker and fuller. Guaranteed. Viviscal is the number one drug-free hair growth supplement in the U.S., with one box being sold every minute globally. It's clinically researched to promote existing hair growth for men and women. And now, a 90-day supply of Viviscal is offered in your area, risk-free, plus free shipping. Call 800-801-4500. Viviscal nourishes thinning hair from within. You'll love your hair growth results, guaranteed. Viviscal is so effective, it's recommended by top doctors. Here's Dr. Grant Stevens, board-certified plastic surgeon.
I feel confident recommending Viviscal to women with hair loss, thinning hair, or even dry or brittle hair. It's 100% drug-free, and it's backed by years of clinical research.
Want to try Viviscal? Every listener that calls now gets a 90-day risk-free supply plus free shipping. Call now, 800-801-4500, 800-801-4500. That's 800-801-4500.
Nepal's parliament elected Communist Party leader Kanaga Prasad Oli today, the new prime minister. He's being thrust into the center of daunting challenges from ethnic protests over the new constitution that's also upset vital neighbor India to rebuilding from April's devastating earthquake. The 63-year-old Oli is generally popular in Nepal and has a reputation for being an outspoken leader, not afraid to criticize. A lawyer representing more than three dozen families whose loved ones were lost in the German Wings plane crash back in March says his clients want to sue for compensation in the United States, where courts could decide upon much larger settlements. Elmar Gimela told the DP news agency today that he's met with 100 family members who agree he should go ahead and pursue legal action in this country. Prosecutors believe the Airbus A320 was intentionally crashed by its co-pilot. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Today is an occasion to mark the memory of a Polish hero of the American Revolution.
In honor of General Kazimierz Puławski, October 11th was set aside in 1929 as a United States holiday held each year by presidential proclamation to commemorate his death from wounds suffered at the Siege of Savannah on October 9th, 1779, and also to honor the heritage of all Polish Americans. Val Dior reporting.
Today is Sunday, October 11th, the 284th day of 2015. There are 81 days left in the old year. On this date in history, 1905, the Juilliard School was founded as the Institute of Musical Art in New York. On this date in 1910, Theodore Roosevelt became the first former U.S. president to fly in an airplane as he visited St. Louis. And on this date in 1944, the classic film To Have and Have Not, starring Humphrey Bogart, opened in New York. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The Trade School at Shasta Builders Exchange in Reading is nationally recognized and provides the training and education that will prepare you for a career in the construction trades. According to the United States Department of Labor, electricians will be one of the top 20 fastest-growing occupations over the next decade. Take advantage of this tremendous earning opportunity. The Trade School offers an electrical training program accredited by the National Center for Construction Education and Research. This program has been an industry leader for over 10 years and is authorized by the state of California. The electrical training program is now accepting applications. The program offers evening courses to allow you to work during the day in your field of study. This program provides hands-on training, and graduates finish at the journeyman level. Be one of the few state-registered electrical trainees who are legal to work in Northern California. Classes are filling quickly. Don't wait. Enroll now. To learn more about the electrical training program at the Trade School at Shasta Builders Exchange, call 222-1917 or email training@shastabe.com.
Electrical orientation and registration is October 29th. Call Shasta Builders Exchange today.
Sierra Pacific Industries is proud to support our crew members, their families, and our local high school football team. We look forward to watching your families grow over the years. Please enjoy the game and be safe before, during, and after. Let's keep our community safe, and together we can keep teams safe.
Sierra Pacific Industries has over 4,450 crew members and is a proud sponsor of North State football. For more information on Sierra Pacific Industries and to see what jobs are available, visit their website at spi-ind.com.
Hey, this is Carl Bott here to tell you about the good folks at Muse Concrete. Boyce and Joan Muse, along with their fantastic crew, have been bringing homes, parks, stadiums, and so much more to the Reading community for over three decades. Muse Concrete is also proud to bring exciting programs like high school football and Reading Colt 45's baseball to the airwaves right here on KCNR 1460. Muse Concrete, an uncompromising commitment to quality and integrity since 1982. Check them out online, museconcrete.com. Great people doing great work.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
we came to fight.
We are Americans.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Sovereign Minds, we're back here. This is the last hour, and we're talking to Jake McCauley, and I think he has we're going to give you a couple, 3 minutes here to finish your point, Jake.
Well, I appreciate it. I kind of got long-winded, so my apologies to you and all the listeners. A lot of people want solutions for, you know, what when government's getting out of control, what can we do? And I think that the answer, well, I know the answer is right in front of us. I gave the analogy of the pit bull that was guarding the yard, and what happens when it starts to attack your daughter instead of protecting her, you interpose. And so if a federal agency, a good example is some of the Brady Bill legislation, Sheriff Richard Mack, who's a good friend of ours, decided to interpose on the behalf of his constituency that he was the sheriff of, and he said, I'm not going to enforce this unlawful and unconstitutional legislation on my county. And he stood against them, and it did go to the Supreme Court, which is one example of a way that you can do it. I think a better way is just to ignore it rather than sue the federal government. Just ignore it and say, not in my county. And he won because the federal government was outside of its jurisdiction, its constitutional jurisdiction. So sheriffs have a great deal more authority than even a president of the United States in your county. State governments can do this as well. For instance, Ohio put in their legislation, Obamacare need not apply in our state. There's another example of interposition and nullification. You know, we heard what the 9 Supreme Court justices said, you know, in their black gowns and their gavels, and we heard what the president said. We heard what Pelosi said, but you know what? That's good for D.C., and you guys can do that if you want to, but we're not going to. And I think another good example I love using is a friend of ours who's a sheriff in Indiana. And the Amish folks, and you got to be careful of them. They're very dangerous. Of course, I'm being facetious. There was an Amish gentleman who was selling raw milk. And you know what happens to Amish people when they drink raw milk, don't you? I mean, it's like a scene out of the Avengers. It's crazy. But federal agencies thought, you know, we can't let them sell raw milk. It's dangerous to the state of Indiana. Well, the sheriff was contacted by this Amish gentleman, and he said, because that's what he should do. His sheriff is there to protect his rights. And the sheriff said to them, Bradley Rogers, he's a friend of ours as well, said to the federal agencies, if you step foot on our property and attempt to harass this gentleman, I will arrest you. We have jail cells for people that threaten God-given rights of our constituencies. The federal government has not come by to harass that raw milk farmer, the Amish man in Indiana. So these are great examples. We can get our local body politic on board with the constitutionality, and that's why we teach courses. You can go to theamericanview.com, take our online course for free. You can buy our materials. We have a teaching course by DVD. There's a number of ways to get educated. Come see me in Redding tomorrow at the Tea Party. I'm going to be in California for 8 days, as a matter of fact. I emailed my schedule to you, Linda, for your listeners. But get educated, and once people get on board, we can check this stuff. It's not so difficult.
I agree with you totally.
We need to have the knowledge.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you, Jake. That's why the federal money is so dangerous to these local sheriffs as far as their drugs and all this other stuff, because they use it as a leverage. Mm-hmm. You know, and the sheriffs will deny it, but they're, you know, the federal government can jerk those grants away without cause, and so they tend to be beholden to the federal government's position. And that's why we've got to get guys in there that will uphold the people's position as opposed to, you know, the feds and their money.
And
so
change the dynamic where the money stays in the local township, in the county,
thus the
so that
Jefferson.
The sheriff doesn't have to beg for money. He gets his first before it goes anywhere else.
Very good.
And I think you want to go to the caller now?
Yeah, we go to the caller, and then we got to hurry up. So.
Okay. Billy Bob, are you still with us?
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. Mark and Linda, absolutely incredible. Both your first hour and this second hour has absolutely prompted my call. Jake McCauley, you're a godsend. And I swear to God, as a believer and a Christian, you have to keep the horsepower up. What you said in this last hour is the most incredible, logical, and succinct interpretation of our world in this nation today. And I just had to give you some compliments and keep up the good work. I'll be there tomorrow to hear you. And
now you're cutting out a little bit,
Billy. Yeah, we're losing him.
So, anyway, we
want to thank you for calling in.
Yeah.
And
that was very gracious.
Yeah.
Very good. Listen, we've got to get to the next segment. We've got a lot of other news to cover, so we appreciate having you, and we really look forward to seeing you tomorrow night, Jake.
Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Okay, very good.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so, you got something?
Well, I don't know if the phone's ringing. I thought we had another caller on the line, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure. So, we've got a lot of news to cover that I want to hit in the last 45 minutes. The things that I want to hit, I'm not sure if we got a caller on the line or not, but...
Just some off-air business.
Never mind.
Well, yeah.
There was some question as to whether we were on the air or not, but we are and have been the whole time, to my knowledge.
last time I checked.
The chat room's acting a little funny. But
is it?
Yeah, it is for me, but
it has ever since they fixed it.
Yeah. So, but we are on, so there you go.
Well, there you have it. So, listen, a couple of things I wanted to cover that are big in the news this week that maybe didn't get covered by, you know, our mainstream, lamestream, MSLSD guys, the people that keep shoveling the stable full of, crap. And not reporting any of the real news, is this Deutsche Bank's balance sheet, this Deutsche Bank scandal that's coming to fruition here, is, it's up to, looks like, $67 billion worth of losses or better, maybe all the way up to like $77 trillion in the derivatives market. And this looks like this is going to be a real problem. And, they've got so much toxic waste on their balance sheet that this could be the Lehman Brothers moment that we've been kind of looking to maybe happen at some point. And what's interesting about this Deutsche Bank is that involved in this is Glencore and this scandal with Glencore, and you got the Credit Suisse involved, and it looks like this thing might contagion out on us. But what's interesting about this is, does everybody know what Glencore is? I mean,
I do. Well,
yeah.
We do, but our listeners probably don't, so you probably should let them know exactly what Glencore is.
Glencore is a multinational commodities trading and mining company headquartered in Baer, Switzerland. It's, it's a company that was created through a merger of Glencore with Astrada in 2013, and it's ranked 10th in the Fortune Global 500 as a list of the world's largest companies and the world's third largest family business. Now, Glencore was created, back, I believe it was 94. I'm sorry.
Do we have the opera music?
Yeah, we need the opera music. We need the opera music, Bob, for this. Does everybody remember Mark Rich? Mark Rich is the guy who created Glencore, okay? Now, does everybody remember who Mark Rich was? Remember back in the day, he is best known for not only founding Glencore, but being indicted in the United States on federal charges of tax evasion and illegal making oil deals with Iran during the Iran hostage crisis. He was in Switzerland at the time of the indictment and never returned to the United States. He received a controversial presidential pardon from...
Clinton?
Then President Bill Clinton.
That's what I thought.
Now, who did that on his last day in office? Remember this?
Mm-hmm.
Now, so this thing's blowing up. You got the biggest tax evader in American history involved in this thing. Derivatives trading, metals, manipulation across the board. All I'm saying is stay tuned. This is not going to probably go away.
Looking at the other economies and the things going on in the EU, I was trying to figure out how Deutsche Bank was keeping such a strong balance sheet in comparison to everybody else.
I know nothing.
And now I get it.
I was going to say, that should answer your question right there, how that happened.
It's my fault. I had an inappropriate assumption of solvency.
There you have it. And I got to do it. You got to watch out for the storm drains.
Oh, jeez.
Every time. Every time.
Not the car washing, son. Yeah. But it's the green stuff.
People don't know how hot this job is.
But what are they doing floating around in the storm drain anyways?
But that's what, I mean, this is such toxic waste crap that's being shoveled. And you know, I'm looking at Glencore. Go to Glencore and look at what their approach to their investment strategies are. Our approach is sustainability. Glencore's approach is sustainability based on our values and code of conduct, supported by policies and procedures at both a group and operational level. And then you can go down to their model of their sustainability framework. And at the top of their framework is values. This is coming
from the guy that
was the biggest tax evader in the history of the country.
Actually, yeah. If you think about it, it makes sense. Our sustainability is based on our values. Our values stink. Therefore, our sustainability
stinks.
Sort of sucks. And you know,
holy crap.
Does this sort of remind you of anything at all? A recent venture into financial, liquidity and solvency that we had examined, can you say CalPERS?
No, it's not so.
Their approach to investment is sustainability as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where does this word sustainability come from? They've ruined it for everybody who is a free-thinking American because, of course, sustainability sounds good, but what's it based on?
Well, that's the thing is people aren't looking at the word enough, okay, sustainability. And they naturally assume, oh, well, that means sustainable for the environment or sustainable for – no, but it is absolutely sustaining someone. The question that needs to be answered is who is it sustaining because it's not the retirees.
Well, I want to read you their sentence here. This is their – we are committed to operating transparently and responsibly. Our values and code of conduct lay out our approach to sustainability and embody our expectations of our people and our business partners. Our policies and procedures support good business practice, and we meet or exceed applicable laws and external requirements.
Sure they do. And did you catch it? Our people.
Which
our
laws
people.
Are applicable, according to them?
The biggest tax evader. Yeah, it's like,
Vader.
Can you imagine they're sitting in front of, they're in the boardroom, and, hey, we got to come up with a mission statement, you know? sustainability, conduct, the values,
And our people. I like that. It kept saying our people, you know, our people.
Hey, you know, the law, forget about it. Yeah. You know, I mean, this is values, you know, and all this good stuff, you know, and good practices, and we'll follow the law and all that stuff, you know. I mean, really? Really? I mean, it's like, this is like out of Goodfellas or something when you read this crap and who's behind this.
Slap the punk. Call security.
Who's your daddy?
Want a piece of me?
Frankie! Look, he's changing colors.
Come on, squirt some tears, punk.
Yeah, that's the board meeting.
Yeah. Exactly.
Sustainable.
And I guess we have Terry on the line.
I got to say my one line, though, before I get Terry
on
the line.
Hold
it's
on.
Like, you know, I went down to the doctor and I had a brain scan, you know, and they didn't find nothing.
Yeah, we kind of knew that. And what's that?
Yeah.
Good morning, Terry. You've got some breaking news for us this morning?
Hey, Rico, forget about it. Yeah, I just talked to our sheriff, and he's listening.
Wow.
Yeah, he's listening to your program, Mark, and he said he caught the tail end of it, and he thought that Jake was great, and I encouraged him to come tomorrow night, and he says, you know, he does know his schedule, and it is a late notice, but he sure as heck is going to try, and wouldn't be surprised to see him there tomorrow night.
Hey, that would be very encouraging. I mean,
he really, that's very encouraging for everybody out there. That's a good thing. He really liked what he had to say. I mean, he's still got a burr under his saddle about him coming up with all the finances and coming up with a situation where we could have more jail space. And two supervisors and the CEO shutting him down was that was a drag.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, I think Tom's a great guy. I think that, you know, this money gets held over his head, and he gets put in a position of what do, you know, to make things happen. I disagree with him to a certain extent on the drugs and the federal funding thing, because that what that does is it makes you beholden to these guys, and it's hard to represent your constituents, in my opinion, you know, at the local level when you got these guys holding this money over a head, over your head. Now, obviously, it's targeted for certain things, but nonetheless, will these guys jerk the money away if you're not playing ball with them the way they want? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we had a little talk about Jefferson and what's happening there and how we're up to 12 counties now. And you know, he's been talking with some of the sheriffs in the counties. There's a lot of sheriffs behind us.
Awesome.
You know, the sheriff of El Dorado County has a Jefferson banner in his front yard and actually was the person who introduced Mark Baird at the presentation. So
nice. In
El Dorado County. So, you know, I think Tom, I think that Tom wants to do the right thing, and I think that you make a good point there. But I think the more that he sees the people behind him, the more courage he's going to have too. And really that's sort of,
that's our responsibility. We can't,
it
lay,
is our responsibility we can't lay
this all on the sheriff and say, the sheriff has to do the right thing. No, the real deal is that the people have to got to get behind the sheriff to support him so that he's able to support the people at the local level and get rid of this federal intervention on our rights, you know, whatever across the board it is. And it is an educational process. So I think it's great, Terry. I really want to say I like Tom, and I think his heart is in the right spot, and we want to support him wherever we can.
Yeah, and it'll be great if he comes tomorrow night. Also, great show, you guys. Linda, you're amazing on getting guests, girl. That was just what a great show you have going here. So I'm going to get off here so you guys can get back to your show. What a great program. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Okay.
I was just going to contribute that, you know, we need to do everything we can, too, to make sure that Tom's hands aren't tied, that he has the option to operate as the sheriff that he wants to, because he's not beholden to certain things, and that's our responsibility to him to make sure that happens.
I agree. So with that, moving right along on the news stuff, do we have to go to a break? Okay,
we got to go to a break, I guess. We're getting the signs here. Again, if you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
View 202, the only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions, including classics like sweet potato fries, View 202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite, Mai Mai Almondine. Also new, 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from beer braised chicken, spicy Italian sausage, to seared wild mushrooms. Try their smoked steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with bottomless mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. View 202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. View 202, 226-8439. That's 226-8439.
What do you get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin to an amazing lineup of guests on KCNR 1460 AM?
You get We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Join us anytime online at wethepeopleradio.us.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream soundbites to bring you the entire story on politics, veterans affairs, land use, and private property rights. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, where we've always got environmental craziness, Agenda 21, Common Core, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
It's the most fun you can have while your blood pressure's going through the roof.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
There's nothing so sweet as the laughter of children, and yet statistics say 3,000 children a year are sold into child sex trafficking. Is this happening to our kids in Reading and surrounding areas? Sadly, the answer is yes. How can it be, and what can be done? On October 15th, there will be a Rotary-sponsored presentation at the Cascade Theater, and you need to attend. This rare appearance and presentation will be by Deepa Willingham. Mrs. Willingham is an international local expert who obtained her primary and secondary education under the stewardship of Mother Teresa. You'll learn how she's worked with at-risk children and educated them on the dangers of child sex trafficking. You have the opportunity to learn how you can make a difference. Write this date down, October 15th at the Cascade Theater. This is a great concern to all of us. Again, mark your calendars and please be at the Cascade Theater on October 15th. Be a part of spreading the awareness and let's keep the laughter in our children.
Grace Place Tea House is now serving gourmet teas, Pete's coffee, and delectable treats. All proceeds from Grace Place benefit Compass Shining Care, a local nonprofit committed to extending compassion and hope, enhancing the quality of life for individuals, families, and the overall community. Right in the heart of downtown at 1448 Pine Street. So stop in, enjoy a special drink while you relax and rejuvenate. Grace Place is what we are all about, a place of grace.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Don't cry. Don't raise your eyes. It's only teenage wasteland.
Back in the day.
Yeah. That terrible rock and roll, yeah. Anyhow.
Yeah, you gotta like the Who.
Yeah.
Oh, well, let's see. Where are we at now? Okay, let's see. We've covered a lot of ground here. But I want to talk a little bit more. We're going to get into a little bit more of this financial stuff and, you know, the politics of control that's going across the board. So we talked about the Deutsche Bank and all that, and that's kind of blowing up. And you know, if you look at the charts, I mean, anybody who believes that the economy is not tanking is not following anything but the mainstream media crap. So, you know, we've got to wise up to the fact that we're heading into a real problem, and the way to fix it is acknowledge that there's a problem in the first place and start doing something about it. But
I think one of the most powerful things that we can do is start to rebuild community.
I agree.
Because it's going to take community to get us out of what's coming.
I agree, you know. And, you know, I'm looking at a headline. This is from the Wall Street Journal.
And, you know, we've been told that recovery is all good and everything, blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, here's the headline on October 7th. Once the biggest buyer, China starts dumping U.S. government debt. So once the biggest buyer of government debt treasuries, China starts dumping U.S. government debt. Does anybody see that there could be a problem here of them dumping our debt? Shift in treasury holdings is the latest symptom of emerging market slowdown hitting global economy.
I'm not sure dumping is a strong enough word. I mean, as fast as they're liquidating our debt, it's...
Well, here's the headline. This is from Ming Sheng and Ling Ling Wei.
Say that five.
Writing for the Wall Street Journal.
Wow, that would mean something so different if I was drunk.
Central banks around the world are selling U.S. government bonds at the fastest pace on record, the most dramatic shift in the $12.8 trillion treasury market since the financial crisis. Does that sound good for our financial situation in America? Does that sound like we're in recovery? You know, why do we have interest rates that have been the lowest in the last, since 3,000 years ago? We are coming to a point where this is going to be undeniable. There is a perfect storm brewing in the markets with all the rigging and the lies and the Glencores and everything that's been happening, the Greek tragedy. You know, you've got all this stuff happening. So
the Saudis. I mean, Saudi Arabia is hemorrhaging cash. I've been watching that, and I've been saying for, what, 2 or 3 months now, I think Brazil's the next biggie to go, and now I'm wondering if it's not a race between Brazil and the Saudis.
Well, you know, on top of that, I have another headline here, The End of the American Dream. This comes from theendoftheamericandream.com. The Trans-Pacific Partnership permanently locking in the Obama agenda for 40% of the global economy. This is dated October 5th. And, of course, there's no problem here, right? I mean, everything's fine. While this couldn't be a part of the next headline, which is from The New American, at UN Summit, world rulers adopt agenda for global socialism. And this is on Monday, 28th of September 15th, a far-reaching United Nations plot to re-engineer civilization and impose global socialism on humanity, variously dubbed Agenda 20, Agenda 2030 instead of Agenda 2030. And the Sustainable Development Agenda was ushered in on Friday. But this couldn't have nothing to do with the partnership and the TPA that our congressman voted for or anything like that.
Are you still beating the TPA?
Yeah, I know.
It obviously didn't mean what the words on the paper said. I mean, if you just listen, it didn't mean what it said, and none of what we've said has come true.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Yeah, it has.
Yeah. Okay, so, Oops. So
never mind.
Oopsie.
Yeah, I know. Unbelievable. So we got Gary on the phone before I go off on another tangent here.
Good morning, Gary.
20 minutes left in
Good
the show.
Good morning, everyone. A fine, fantastic 4 hours of Sunday morning radio. Our friends at CARB, that's California Air Resources Board for the unwashed, were at it again. It was a brief mention on the news last week. They fined Estes Trucking, who I think is located in Utah. That's their headquarters. But I'm not sure. Maybe you people know. Rob, do you know?
Yeah, I do.
Are they Utah?
Yes.
Okay. They were fined for not having the proper filters on 74 trucks. So I did a little bit of math. Figuring at $20,000 a truck for the filter times 74, they would have had to pay $1,480,000 to equip them to appease CARB. CARB fined them $300,000. If I were Estes, yeah, I'd pay the fines for 4 years, and then I'd leave the state. But anyway, it's another good reason for us to be the stated Jefferson, and I'll listen to you on the air. Thank you very much. Bye.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
If I was Estes, I wouldn't pay him anything and just not come back into California.
Well, that's what a lot of them are doing, as far as I know, is they're just deciding, well, we have a couple of clients that's truckers, and they're just either, A, getting totally out of the business, or, B, making sure that they don't run in the state.
Yeah, and it's... You know, and that ties into what Mark was just talking about, the sustainable agenda for 2030. They don't care if it drives people out of the state. They don't care if it kills farming or industry. They want it gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the end goal.
And I tell you what, you can't, you know, this idea that this economy is in recovery. I mean, oh, gee, the Dow went up to 1,700 points on Friday. Oh, my goodness. Look at every other measure of prosperity, and we're down. I mean, the strength of the economy, you got to be creating wealth out there. Without a strong economy, you know, no nation will grow or wealthy or stays wealthy, you know. So the asset valuations that are grounded in the economy in the long run are crap. You know, you got rising unemployment, living standard, financial asset prices, the company, you know, I mean, all these things are going in the tank. The economy is not strong. It is very weak, and it has been exhausted by massive government and idiotic policies. And if you can't see that, you need to pay more attention, because, you know, the only reason that the Dow's up is that they keep printing money out of thin air because no one's buying their treasuries because everybody else is dumping our treasuries. So what do you think is going to happen at the end of this collapse?
It's fake data that's actually on it.
Well, you can even go to their own websites at the Federal Reserve and you can see the real data. And it, you know, unemployment's going through the roof, food stamps
right.
going through the roof, unemployment going through the roof, you know, job participation tanking, everything's going on. And then I'm looking at another thing from an activist post here that says Federal Reserve admits to crimes that they committed. You got Bernanke the other day in his book saying that more people should have gone to jail. The bankers should have gone to jail, you know, in 08. But wasn't he like one of them?
Yeah.
And it's just funny that he waited till the statute of limitations ran out on prosecuting
these
guys. And then all of a sudden he comes out and he says, yeah, the bankers, they should have all gone to prison.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
And they're getting ready to do it to us again.
Yeah. It's coming. And I'm just been screaming this at the top of my lungs, you know, that we got to get, you know, this agenda is to collapse the economy on purpose. So that we have to go, oh, geez, save us, government. Once again, we need, you know.
Ah, but see, that's why we need to change the narrative, is so when the collapse comes, we're not sitting there going, oh, save us, government. Come in and help us. We need to look at the government in the eye and go, you caused this. We're done.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Kind of like what Roseburg just did.
Yeah. Get out.
Get out. Go golf. Spend, you know, go spend some more time on the links. Because you know something, you're not wanted here.
As it was put to me, go on, get.
Go on, get.
Go on, get. Get it going.
Are those actual words?
Yes.
Well, it all depends on where you're from. It
sounds like Blind Melon Chitlin. Yeah. Go on, ging, gong,
go on, get.
Go on, ging, gong.
Another popular one was kick rocks.
Kick rocks.
Yeah.
Pound sand. I mean, there's various forms of this. And mm-hmm. so I think that's what is going to have to happen before people get it, because it's just getting worse under this regime. You know, and I look at something like this. Okay, this is from Liberty Blitzkrieg. Ranking the peasants. We can go to this model. Chinese introduces Orwellian citizen scores. This comes from Michael Krager on the 8th on Thursday. The following extraordinarily creepy and is extraordinarily creepy and disturbing. It is also extremely clever from a jackbooted fascist thug perspective when the massive censorship isn't enough. So now the Chinese government has mandated a rating system for all of its connected citizens. It looks like this a credit rating system, but it goes much deeper than it's just trying to measure your financial risk. It's actually trying to measure, you know, your score, in you know, your citizen score. Are you a good citizen or a bad citizen? Are you you know, somebody who's going to stand up and help the government, or somebody who is going to want more freedom and desire to have liberty, that type of thing? So I encourage people to you know, and then, you know, of course they're going to make the higher score status symbols for the people, you know, and then, you know, in the article, it says, how do you say effing morons in Mandarin? I mean,
I don't think it changes
you
much.
You could ask Brent Weaver.
Yeah.
He doesn't know. I'm sure he speaks Mandarin.
No, yeah. I mean, so are they, you know, so this is another way to control the minds and hearts of the large populace, you know, and that's where we're heading if you keep going this direction. What do you think Common Core is about? I mean, you look at Common Core, it's a rating system, basically, and they want to divert your kid into the right, type of labor that they think he's suited for, not have.
Well, yeah, just their questionnaires, mm-hmm. and stuff like Robert Stoddard's brought home and stuff, the questionnaires that they want them to fill out. That's exactly what they're doing.
Between English and her regular enrollment, there was 200 questions of all kinds of random things. And they're very couched questions like, do you, I can't remember the exact thing. It says, do you and your family believe in intelligent design, or do you believe that has been debunked by more credible science? That's not the exact words, but basically. Mm-hmm. And it was littered with things like this. She's brought home things like, how many cars does your family own? How many miles do they drive them? It's for calculating the carbon footprint of your family.
Well,
you know, how much electricity? What's your average phone bill? You know,
here's another narrative that needs to change. That President Obama is just misguided. He's ideologically driven. Oh yeah, he's ideologically driven. All right, but he's not our guy. That's ideologically driven for the American people. I mean, here's another article. This comes from Alex Jones, InfoWars, which I don't typically subscribe to all that much, but this has got the backup here. Obama arms ISIS-linked militants, pushes gun control on very same day. How do you reconcile that? That you're pushing gun control on your people,
on the American people.
American people, why you arm ISIS. Really? Now, this comes from a report, okay, that this was the president approved rearming the Syrian opposition, which predominantly consists of ISIS and its affiliates, on October 1st, the same day that Obama suggested the U.S. should start banning guns after the Umpqua College community college shooting. Okay? The approval came at the National Security Council meeting on Thursday, CNN reported. So if you think that this guy is a good guy, he's a traitor. This is treasonous activity.
Yes.
There's no question about it. So are we going to keep supporting the federal government? Is our congressman in Washington going to keep funding these freaking programs? Are they going to stop them? Yeah, they are.
They are right now.
Because
they're prostitutes
and they're paid off to do it. Just talked about Monsanto and the Dark Act.
Well, that's we have people asking too about Jerry Brown signing the bill that bans concealed carry on college campuses.
Yeah. Oh, this is all just random, right?
Well, my thoughts on that is number one, a gun-free zone does nothing but create a killing field, and they're fully aware of it. Calling it a gun-free zone doesn't mean people aren't going to show up with guns any more than calling it a drug-free zone is going to mean the kids aren't going to have pot or booze or tobacco or anything else on the campus. They know that. And what they are doing is they are creating areas that are actively and openly exposed, and they're doing it at our most vulnerable points, our schools, our children, the future, and they're doing it on purpose so that they can promote their own agenda. And I am going to urge people to ignore the law. They have no right. Where in the Second Amendment is Jerry Brown, the governor of California, granted the right to infringe on your right to defend yourself at any time and to bear arms any place, anywhere? He has no right. You can exercise the 10th Amendment as an individual to do so. And the next time that we have a school shooting, instead of people running around arguing over whether we have gun rights or we shouldn't have gun rights, put that away, because we do have gun rights. You're not going to take them away. It's an inalienable right to defend yourself. You couldn't take it away if you wanted. And anybody that has passed a law that has disarmed someone, they ought to be liable civilly to the family. They ought to be liable civilly to the people that have been shot, and they ought to be put in jail for aiding and abetting the shooters because they've illegally removed the right to protect themselves.
I agree with you on that. And like you say, with the school zones in place that they say no gun zone and all that, all they're doing is setting it up for the criminals, the evil people, to have a place to go. That's exactly where they're going to go. They're not going to go down to some place that they know that the citizens are armed. You know?
Well, the devil's a liar.
Yeah.
Well, I think in most of Oregon, gun-free zones are going to rapidly be a thing of the past.
Well, and you know, when you say that it's an inalienable right, we go back to Jake McCauley, an inalienable right is a right given from God. Now, that means only God can take it away. So it has really nothing to do with whether you're religious or not, but where your rights can be taken away from. If your rights are given to you by Jerry Brown and the governor, and if your rights are given to you by the Supreme Court, or if your rights are given to you by the Congress or the executive branch, Mr. Obama, then they can take them away. If your rights are given from God, then you have
rights forever that can't even be given away. That's the issue.
And that's a two-part argument, because when they said that they cannot define religion or remove you from that religion, they can't take your rights, as you were saying, because they're given by God, and they cannot remove you from God under the religious protection of this country.
Well, and just under the natural law. The only one that can remove you from God is you.
That's it.
Okay.
And if you remove yourself from God, you lose those protections.
Here's another update on Monsanto, just because I've got my hackles up here.
Monsanto.
Profits have fallen by 14%, and the company is laying off 2,600 employees, which is 12% of its workforce. But the company is fighting back by attempting to obtain legislation to protect it from market pressures. So we need legislation to protect us from the free market, so we've got to get government to intervene on our behalf. And so House Bill 1599 was given the Orwellian title, the Safe and Accurate Labeling Bill. Now, this sounds a little bit like the Dark Act, and I wonder how our congressman is going to vote on this. Gee, I wonder if you get paid from Monsanto in increments, you know, every month, whether that's okay, because it's not one big lump sum.
It's not all at once.
So we'll see. I have hopes that he votes against it, but, you know, the Safe and Accurate Labeling Bill.
Well, didn't we want a labeling bill? Not that one. Didn't we want to know what was on in our food?
They said,
oh, no, you can't do that.
Let me finish. But it aims to keep the labeling bill, GMO ingredients, a secret, and will prevent the states and counties from banning GMO crops treated with Roundup Ready pesticides.
And again, what authority do they have to prevent a state or a county from doing anything? Where is that a specific power reserved in the Constitution to the federal government?
Yeah, that's a good question, isn't it? Maybe we should go to a quick break.
Why are they even voting on it?
Maybe we should go to a quick break before I throw my mouse through the window. And we'll come back and finish it up.
Yeah, we have a few announcements when we come back. Let people know about the Gator and things like that. We will go to a break. You want to call in? The number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Patient-centered quality health care is our mission at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Providing superior clinical excellence across a wide array of specialties is why Shasta Regional is ranked as one of America's top 100 hospitals for the second year in a row and named again as a top 50 cardiovascular hospital. We are proud to be recognized as a leader for quality care and patient outcomes, and for our commitment to treating people well in our community. Taking a kinder, more gentle approach to wellness is an important part of healthcare. We strive to make minimally invasive diagnostic and treatment decisions whenever possible, helping patients receive the best care available, resulting in quicker recovery and a rapid return to normal activities. At Shasta Regional, our physicians, nurses, and staff emphasize treating the whole person and not simply the ailment, resulting in the highest level of care. We know medical care can change the body, but treating people well can change lives.
Everyone wants to be a hero. It's part of our DNA. Join One Safe Place as we honor local heroes, survivors, coaches, law enforcement, tribal leaders, military, and parents.
Be a Hero to Your Children is a One Safe Place benefit dinner to help support a community affected by family violence. With special keynote speaker, consultant to the NBA, MLB, NFL, educator and activist, TED Talks Tony Porter. Be a Hero to Your Children benefit dinner is on Thursday, October 22nd at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. To purchase your hosted table now before they're all gone, call One Safe Place at 244-0118, extension 206. Sponsored in part by Region 3 Safe Program and Shasta Regional Medical Center. And remember, not all heroes wear capes.
Wellgate Sports Club, Reading's premier lifestyle center, is celebrating its grand reopening and has a gift for you. Take advantage of exclusive grand reopening membership rates with zero enrollment fees. That's right, zero enrollment fees. Are you looking to add family to your membership? That's great. We have a gift for you, too. Special rates and incentives will allow your entire family to quit the gym and join the club. At Wellgate Sports Club, you'll experience upscale high-end amenities and programs, complimentary lifestyle education workshops, member social events, and passionate professionals who work one-on-one with you to help you achieve your health and fitness goals. Wellgate Sports Club features Reading's exclusive indoor saltwater pool, the Mind and Body Studio featuring Pilates and yoga, as well as the group exercise studio featuring Zumba, cycling, and more. Offer expires October 15th, so don't wait. Come celebrate the grand reopening of Wellgate Sports Club, 1740 Eureka Way, Reading. Call 638-4829 today for your personal tour. Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. Centrally located in Memphis, Tennessee, GI Pathology delivers results to its nationwide client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to gipath.com for more information.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Just a couple of things here. Silver is starting to show signs of a shortage. You might want to take a look at that. I'm not sure if we're on the big uptick yet, but we've got some pretty good gains this last week, so you might pay attention to that. Also, announcements. Are you going to talk about the Gator, or do you want me to?
Excuse me. Well, we need to let everybody know we did draw a ticket on Monday night, and Amel Morgan out of Shasta Lake City won it. Formerly from Anderson, and he was just one happy guy.
Well, I'll tell you what. I talked to him on the phone. He was like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
And dropped it off. It was great. The guy was really happy about it.
So, and then, of course, you know,
I had to, he We had to fight over the key, though, for a minute, though. I was going to give it to him, and then he grabbed my hand, and I kind of hold back and forth, and I finally let it go.
Yeah. So, and we want to thank everybody that helped support that, that's for sure, and thank Mr. Wilkinson out there, because he's a ticket-selling
fool.
What a great guy.
Yeah. Talk about patriot. Yeah. Couldn't have done it without you, Mr. Wilkinson, so thank you very much. And then, of course, it's October, and we have the stand-down coming at the end of the month for the homeless veterans out at the fairgrounds, so let them know that. And if I'm sure they're going to have free bus rides like usual out there and people helping the veterans get out there so they can get help and supplies and food and clothing and things like that. And then, you know, November's right around the corner, so we have the parade in Shasta Lake City for Veterans Day, and that's always a really good thing to come out and show our support. We'll be out there marching and doing all that.
I got one more dick here. Okay.
You got.
This is a headline here, and I'm not going to play it, but former president of the UN Assembly arrested in New York on graft case. I know, it's a shocker, but John Ash, I guess how you say it, pronounce it, has been arrested on charges of receiving $1.3 million in bribes from Chinese businessmen in exchange for backing a proposal to build a UN-sponsored conference center in Macau. The Chinese businessman was also arrested last month for smuggling $4.5 million in cash into the United States. One can only wonder which politician was the intended recipient.
Macau. Okay, that would be the casinos there in Macau and the big triad bust that they had in China.
So I wonder if he did it pay them all at once, or did he pay them in increments?
Well, we need Schultz back up, you know. I mean, I know nothing. But I think we're just about out of time. What do we got, about a minute left, Bob?
1 minute.
One minute.
1 minute to showtime.
All right, well, got anything else?
Well, just remember to get out to the tea party every Monday night.
Where was that Schultz there?
I know nothing.
And again, Jake that we had on earlier,
will
be out there tomorrow night.
Very good. So we're down to the last 30 seconds here, I guess. And, you know, we have to say it as always. You were born an original. Don't die a copy. Remember, amateurs built the Ark and professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason, it is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles above parties and politicians.
And this has been KCNR, 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Stay tuned for We the People on KCNR Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Growing number of Republicans are saying they could support Representative Paul Ryan for House Speaker, opening a potential bridge between bitterly divided GOP factions. Jason Chaffetz, who was running himself, tells ABC that he would step aside for Ryan.
I think he checks every box. He's got the great experience. He's a visionary. He understands the institution. He's a great spokesperson. And one of the things I think people love about him is that he puts his family first.
And appearing on Fox News Sunday this morning, Congressman Jim Jordan, chairman of the Conservative Freedom Caucus, says whoever takes over as House Speaker is not the central issue.
We're much more concerned about reforming the institution. This is not just about who the next speaker is. It's about what's going to change. The business as usual attitude around there, changing that is foremost on our minds.
Meanwhile, Ryan, the current Ways and Means chairman, has publicly stated he doesn't want the job, but he has emerged as a possible contender after John